Hello, and welcome to the City of Morro Bay regularly scheduled Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District meeting here at a little bit after 10 on Thursday by Mark Tognazzini. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful fish that he brought in, tuna, for us. And the winner of that event was Sean Washburn from Sean's on Main, and we do have his trophy here for him. And so Michelle and I and Mayor Yates is visiting with us, and Sean is here, and we'd like to present that to him at this time after we show the video. And we'll meet you down there.
Very, very tough.
I don't envy her. I mean, I can't imagine picking one dish that's going to be the winning dish. The pressure is on, Katie. She looks like she's handling it well.
Yeah, I would rather make it than have to judge it. Yeah. Like I said, cheeseburger is like my last meal, so.
I'm so glad that both of you came out. Thank you, chefs, for putting up with this today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is, once again, extremely tough. Tell me again about your oyster shooter here. What's your magic recipe there?
Well, we use the horn melon.
That's right.
Just a little sauce there with the now tomato and cilantro, and then the avocado coconut mousse out of the ISI gun for the fat flavor or the fat content to cut down on the saltiness of the oyster.
And I have to say, even though he's not a pastry chef, his ice cream with the walnut ice cream and the soil and how beautiful it looks and how wonderful it tastes is just, that's, I hope that gets on your menu. And then a question for you, Sean. Sorry, tell me again what's in your the quail egg, toad in the hole, and then the albacore tuna.
We made an albacore tuna tartare with shallots, green onions, extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little cayenne pepper.
Wow.
And then warm bacon vinaigrette with some of the tomatoes that we peeled, seeded, and chopped. And then some frisée that we dressed with it.
Well, I have to say to everybody, both of them have just done such a wonderful job keeping the simple freshness of the ingredients that they used, which is what Sunset kind of cooking is all about, and definitely what the cooking in Morro Bay, I know, can be. So they're both stellar. This is really hard, and I do have to say, although you were a little bit late, I'm adding points back on for the lovely way you talked about your wife. So that evens out. That evens you out. So now it's just all about the food. I have to say that it's very hard, very, very difficult, but this is my favorite dish.
Thank you.
Sean, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate
it. You are the winner of Battle of the Bay.
Thank you. Congratulations.
And we hope to see you back next year for a rematch. Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
And we have this year. We have a phenomenal plaque that will be displayed in his restaurant all year. Morro Bay would like to thank Sunset Magazine and the San Luis Obispo County Visitor and Conference Bureau for bringing this wonderful event to our county, allowing this. Yay! Mayor has the plaque for you.
Sean, it's my pleasure to present to you for the second time the trophy, but now engraved. I think it's a very cool cool trophy.
Thank you.
And we are so proud of you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Would you like to say something?
I'm flattered to be able to have the opportunity to compete in this competition and to showcase the ingredients from Morro Bay. I really think we're lucky to have what we have here. It's a great thing to be able to show it off at the national level.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out for that, Sean and Mayor Yates. And now back to business, board announcements. Any announcements? Go ahead.
I have one to support the Baywood Elementary School. Tonight there is a fundraiser for the sixth grade for Camp Ocean Pines. So anybody that lives out in Los Osos, if you can come out and support the Baywood Elementary School to get the sixth graders to Camp Ocean Pines. It's $8 for a barbecue dinner. It's tri-tip beans, salad, and garlic bread. So anybody that lives out in Osos, it would be great to have your support. And it's drive-through, so you don't even have to get out of your car. And it's from 4 to 7 tonight. So that's about the only announcement I've got.
I have an announcement about the La Luminaria in Morro Bay, which is the luminary event that's happening for the first time. It's going to start at the roundabout, circle the roundabout, go all the way down Morro Bay Boulevard, and end at Centennial Park. That's on Friday the 2nd from 5 to 8. People will be walking from City Park, where you can purchase a candle in hope or in hope for the season, or in honor of somebody. And all proceeds will benefit local charities. It takes about 1,500 luminaries to light that walk. So if you're interested as a business in sponsoring those luminaries, it's $20 to sponsor a huge portion of the luminaries. And so we need 70 people total to step up, and right now we've got about 25, so we're looking to get there with that. And we have a nice group of volunteers who are going to come together. At the end of Centennial Stairway, there's going to be music and some little mini Spanish dancers, little tiny ballet folkloricos from the grade school. And so Santa Claus will be there, and treats also. So please join us. And also, the following night is the Lighted Boat Parade. Craig?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Joan. December 3rd is the Lighted Boat Parade. It's since this morning, but she will be here through Monday, and you will be able to do some adventure cruises. They're going to be doing two adventure cruises, but also to tour the deck and see Lady Washington. She's an incredible ship. And she actually was used as the Black Pearl in Caribbean's Pirates of the Caribbean. So it's a great opportunity and a great family event. I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you. Oh, if I may. I'm sorry. Morro Bay Beautiful is doing a lighting contest. And residential and commercial. The residential judging will be December 9th. The commercial judging will be December 2nd. We've got some great events lined up for Morro Bay, and we would love that all of the businesses be decorated by the 2nd, and the judging will be done the evening of the 2nd so that we're all lit for the 3rd and for the Luminaria on the 2nd. So thank you.
Wow, that was a lot. We've got a lot going on in Morro Bay. Everybody come to town. There's an expo. When is the expo?
That actually has dominated my life for the last week. I'm surprised I forgot that. It's tonight. It's at the community center from 4 to 7 o'clock. Thanks for that, Joan. We're also partnering with the Slo County Food Bank. And now during the holiday times, they always have need, but there's special need this time of year, but also with things that are going on in the environment. We have 1 out of 7 people are food insecure in our county, which means they're not sure where their next meal is coming from. And we will be collecting canned goods, and while canned goods help an awful lot, a dollar will even go further. It'll purchase 10 pounds of food that'll provide 7 meals for a family. So we hope to collect a lot of donations today at the expo down at the community center, again from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and the Slo Food Bank will have Gobble the Turkey there. And John, I know you've been waiting for this all year long, so come on down, get your picture taken with Gobble the Turkey, and visit with over 30 small businesses that'll be showcasing there, and we're going to have a great time, food and beverage and a lot of entertainment too. So thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Are you sure that's it now? Got it? Got it. Okay. That was a lot. It was a lot. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. Any more board announcements? Thank you very much. We will move on to, there we go. We're backwards in the agenda. Sorry. The public comment period. At this time, I'd like to open it up for public comment. Anyone in the audience wishing to step forward and address the board may do so. Please state your city of residence and your name, and try and limit your comments to around 3 minutes. Thanks so much. Come on forward.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sean Ellis, and I've lived here for like 25 years. Anyways, I am a steersman for Dragon Boat, and we go around the West Coast and race. And I'm here today to try to promote a festival, Dragon Boat Festival in Morro Bay. I don't own a hotel. There's really no angle financially for me for this, but I've gone to a dozen races, and they're very lucrative for the community, and it's just real special. But we're here. The race is going to take literally a couple years at least to get it together because it is a big event. But we'd like to start off with a small event, and it's a spinoff off the National Dragon Boat Racing. It's breast cancer survivors, and that's a team that we have here in town that started about 4 years ago. And we would like to start off with a small race with just cancer survivors. And we'd invite them to come up here and have just a small race, and then everyone can really see what's going on about it. These races started 2,000 years ago in China. So it's a really big thing all over. If you go to San Francisco, there's 3,000 people show up that are just in the race. They're not even relatives. So this town would be perfect for it because the people from L.A. and San Francisco would come up here. But there's people from Oregon, Washington, and so on, too, that would come to these races. Here's another paddler on our team and a survivor, Rosanna. She's going to clean up whatever I didn't say.
Good morning. My name is Rosanna Ortiz. I'm a survivor. I started paddling with the group about 4 years ago. As Sean said, we are called the Central Coast Survivors. We are gold medal winners. We've won medals in the last three events. We are located centrally between Los Angeles and San Francisco. We have a perfect place to have a race. We've acquired two boats already. And as Sean stated earlier, we would like to start off with a small venue. And again, it would help promote the tourism and financial aspect for the city of Morro Bay, as bringing people in who would eat at our eateries and stay at the local hotels. It is quite an event. If you haven't had an opportunity to see a race, you could Google one on YouTube. Just look up Dragon Boat Racing. And again, it's an exciting event. The women here are very passionate about it. I don't know if you've seen us paddle on the bay. We are paddling 3 days a week and getting ready for our races. We just finished our last race in San Diego about a month ago, which, again, we won the gold medal. And we will be starting up again in January to start our first race in Tempe. But again, we're here to just give you an idea, to let you know what we'd like to do. We will come back with a blueprint. We will get ideas from the other venues and come back with a blueprint and present it. And we're just asking for your support right now to let you know down the line, hopefully within the next year, we would like to have a small venue, invitational only. So with that, if you have any questions.
We don't have any questions right now because it's public comment period, but definitely we'd love you to come back when you have your blueprint ready and your ideas of timelines and those kinds of things.
Right.
It's a perfect fit for Morro Bay. Perfect fit. So in my mind, I'm not sure. But I think we all agree that we'd love to hear back from you.
Okay.
And I encourage you to contact Craig at the Chamber of Commerce, too, because he can help you streamline what you need to get your baby steps moving to get the ball rolling.
Great. Thank you.
And to start out by developing, say, a members page on the chamber site. There's a member page on the SLO County Visitors Bureau site that members can access, but either because we're not paying our dues or because they're not doing anything with it, there's no information on it anymore. I don't know what the deal is on that, but there's a lot of stuff that stakeholders, and I'm talking about hotelers because at this point hotelers are the only stakeholders in the T-bid, should be up to date on, and that's TOT. They should be up to date on historical TOT, present TOT, sales tax, historical and present, economic forecast. You know, we just had a big meeting here in the county that I think that Anderson Group presented the economic forecast, and there was a bit of an upbeat report on San Luis Obispo, and I don't know if anybody from the city or this TBID went to that, but there's good information in that forecast, and it's available as an online document. And city council actions with effect to the lodging industry. And I think we could also have a blog on this page where members could communicate with the board. I don't think the board can communicate with the members because of probably Brown Act stuff, but there's a lot of experienced and knowledgeable and interesting people here in town who own hotels who wouldn't dare get in front of the television to tell you what they're thinking or to ask you questions. And, you know, the art of lobbying is something a lot of people do. But a lot of everybody up here is in business, and we don't all have time to answer the phone and talk to people who have issues about a meeting we're going to have once a month. And so developing the members page, I think, is important. And providing some detail about what you're going to discuss on this members page as well. Right now we have a one-page agenda, and if the stakeholders want to find out what's going on with, say, for example, determination, direction, and funding of website, you can't go back to the last meeting because that agenda hasn't been approved yet. So you're 60 days out on minutes of these meetings before you know what they're going to discuss in this meeting. And so if there was any discussion about something that's been posted on the agenda, it's not available online. I don't know, maybe they stick it on the bulletin board there at the City Hall. But and as I say, you can't rely on networking with members of the TBID because most of you are all very busy. So about this website, I think, you know, personally, this website's killing us. I've got Google information or Google Analytic information from the last 8 months that shows how we just dropped off the cliff when the chamber site went to this alphabetical or this random listing without photographs. I mean, we have an advantage with a photograph because we're right on the waterfront. And who controls the website, the city, the TBID, the promotions committee, or the chamber? And I think the chamber owns the URL, morobay.org. And worst of all, there's nothing done yet on the website. And we've had Barnett Cox for, 4 months? So, but I guess Barnett Cox's hands are tied because nobody's come to a decision about who's going to pay for the modifications or if they're going to completely rewrite the website or anything. But this is all information that all of us stakeholders would like to have before we get up to give you our 3 minutes about what these one-liners are on your agenda. So I think it's your obligation to provide them. So, and like I say, at this stage, I'm also frustrated that there's really no statistical evidence that the TBID is working to jumpstart hotel occupancy. So if there is, show it to us. And as far as participating in this TBID, you know, I'm frustrated there too because I feel, well, the way the TBID was formed, it was formed by the council, provided that a majority of the members didn't oppose it, or more than a majority of the members did not oppose it. It wasn't like it was a popularity contest. So, I don't know. I just feel like I signed up for a cruise and I wound up being a galley slave. I've chained to the oars, and my job is to just collect money for the city, and I have very little to say about it. That's it.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks. Thank thank you for coming forward and telling us everything that you said today. I appreciate all of your opinions and the information that you've given us. It gives us a lot of food for thought. Any other public comment? At this time, we'll close public comment. And we will move to approval of minutes, which we are not there yet with the minutes. So we'll move to unfinished business, discussion of funding requests. And first on that list, we have the Oyster Festival. And so we have Jacqueline from Options to step forward and give us a presentation. She provided the board with a new packet, whatever you want to call it. So if you can turn to find that packet on your desk and turn to that, that'd be great. Thank you.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you. And thank you for having me back. I want to let you know we had a successful event. Why I couldn't present last time is because I was busy a few days before my event. We raised close to $25,000. First year event, there were some kinks in it, but nothing we can't fix for next year. Overall, we sold out, had to turn over 200 people away at the door. So we were very, That's hers. So it was very successful, and we'll continue to do this year after year also. Moving forward now with Oyster Festival, this is the same idea. I'd love it to be an annual event and to grow. I can see that they're very well qualified to do what we need to do moving forward. The new budget is on the next page. This keeps changing because I'm continuing to get in firm bids. We did a walkthrough for the location yesterday, again, with security and got you covered and the golf resort. And they were hoping to have a map ready to show you today, but it's not finalized. They're still doing some graphic design and trying to fit it to scale, but I will have that to present to you very soon, too. But these are starting to really be realistic numbers. Based on some of the research that I did do, I did look up and found out we did have an oyster festival back in 1970. Let me tell you. It was 1969. And, yeah. And 3,000 people came out to it. So I think if we can expect 4,000 people to come out, that's reasonable, especially with what goes on with Harborfest and the different events that come on. So that's a low number. I always work my budgets figuring really low numbers as far as income and really high numbers as far as outgoing costs. That way I definitely have a cushion and it ends up successful no matter what. Some of the costs in here are costs I can take down whether or not things are coming together or the vendors are coming in as we expected. So it's more of a wish list of how I'd like it to present, but it's not written in stone that some of these costs don't need to come down. So my request to for support is I put $25,000 value, and that's really just a value, and that's determined by you. I would like to use Barnett Cox and their qualifications to help design the logo, create the website, create a marketing plan, ad buys, media buys, public relations. I'd like to develop the website to where it has a login and we can see directly book to the hotels so we have a tracking system for upcoming years and we can see exactly what it's brought for the city. And then program design. And my request is to have this all completed by mid-January so I can be up and rolling with vendor applications, everything throughout our website. So that value that I put isn't, like I said, it really is determined. I don't know the relationship between Barnett Cox and how that was worked out, if this would be an extra additional fee, if it can be part of what's already included in the year. So that's why this is it's much more of an in-kind value. I'm not asking for cash. I just need that support. I want this event to be very well designed and very well branded so that it becomes a signature to Morro Bay and a signature to Options, and it becomes something that year after year will grow and we can add pieces to it. I've met with the Abalone Farm. We will do a VIP dinner the Friday night before, and we'll do shuttling from the schools here over to the farm. Also working with Hearst Ranch, we may include a tour in that too. Hearst Ranch Wines are interested. I also have a page of the sponsorships that have told me for sure they are in. We're still negotiating. The last 3 weeks, it's been all these meetings and working with them, but I don't have solid numbers as of yet, but we do have ranges of numbers. Most of my sponsors are coming in between $2,500 to $5,000. Also is the Arcata Bay Oyster Festival. That's really how I'd like to structure this. They are a town of 3,000 people. They bring out close to 18,000 people for that weekend, so it's a huge successful event. I also researched and went to San Diego Oyster Fest and San Francisco Oyster Fest, and those are both highly successful. They bring in about 5,000 people. San Francisco brings in about 8,000 people. So I have a good foundation for what I want this to look like, and then along with the support in our committee, lots of people that know what they're doing. So that's it. If you have any questions for me, this is what we have so far.
We're ready with questions, board, and I think the first question is going to be the date. Are you married to the date?
No, and I would love your feedback on that. From what I've heard and what's going on, graduation is June 9th, and so that's why I put it the 16th. After graduation, the weekend before is Concourse de Elegance, and it's hospice event. I'm trying to not compete with anyone else. You know, I would like the support of the community as a whole and the whole, you know, Central Coast as a whole. So I'm really trying to avoid dates. The other thing that's going on is the Live Oak is the weekend of the 16th, but so far what I've been told, that really won't conflict with what I'm trying to do. So that's so far why I've picked that date, but really I'm looking to you. If you tell me this is another better date, it needs to just work for all of us.
Okay. So we're double checking the Poly date right now, because that sells the county out.
Right.
I mean, that sells San Luis Obispo, it sells Morro Bay out. Cal Poly graduation just sells the town out. It's
right.
Just what it does. And
so I knew that I was looking at the 9th, and then I realized that is graduation this year. So that's
it. And let's see, the first weekend of June is usually Memorial Day.
What
the music festival?
The music festival tends to be, things get quiet right before a holiday, so the 4th of July, which I know falls on like a Wednesday.
Okay.
But we may want to look at like the weekend before the 4th of July, or because I know tends to be quiet right before a holiday.
And you already.
But I don't know if there's anything going on. I think the 23rd would be that.
Works for me.
Saturday before.
I know you wanted to not go so far into summer because you're pretty busy then. So I want it to obviously bring new business. So whenever we can do it.
June 23rd. June 23rd.
Does it have to be June?
No, it can be. I mean, May. The end of May is Memorial Day, and there's so much going on at that time. That's not a.
So I just pulled up the Cal Poly 2012 calendar.
Okay.
Because we're talking 2012. Their commencement is June 15th and 16th.
It is. Okay.
Yes.
So what about June 9th?
That's right.
I'm looking right out here.
I don't know what's going on in the county June 9th. It's definitely, it would be better. I don't think that the town could support anything else Cal Poly graduation weekend. That's
right.
Not going to happen for
right.
us. So the date, you know, is conflicting with that. You know, I would love to see it in a shoulder season when we're soft. You know, the first weekend of November would.
It is nice.
Everyone's
okay.
Behind us.
Last year, I'm on Cal Poly's website.
I'm on Cal Poly's website. You guys.
Is November out of the question? I mean,
it is not.
We were just sitting at home the other day and saying, without a doubt, this is the best weather of the year
mm-hmm.
in November. Every year, it seems like. Boy, if you wanted to have people out on that golf course, you want them there when it's not foggy. When it's
I agree. I was
sunny.
Out there yesterday, and it was just unbelievably beautiful.
And I think the hoteliers would be ecstatic to see something.
I can move it. If that's really – I was looking at a kicking off the summer kind of an event because of with Saver and what goes on towards the end of the year. We want to kind of be on the opposite end of that. But if it's more beneficial for us to move it to a month like November, then most definitely.
Would that seriously impact, from what you see, the attendance side? I mean, are you looking at people out of school bringing kids, and so school's got to be over, and so November doesn't work, or are there other issues that...
I think it's a family and a really wide range of demographic event. It's going to be for all ages. When I look at what goes on with the restaurants and involving them, because as I had spoke before, I want to do a month of a chef's challenge with the oysters and build up with the PR and the development of that for media to launch the event. If we go into November, towards the end of the summer, it seems like so many people are impacted at the end of the summer with what's gone on all summer long. There was so much going on and so many things, and then we're getting close to the holidays. So we're just not on the same... That's why I looked at the beginning of the summer, because where people start getting ready to have some fun.
It's kind of,
if you looked at that early, early June date, she could build that month off of the car festival and that three-day weekend with... crowds. And typically, that weekend following Memorial Day is dead. It's dead in between Memorial Day weekend, the three-day weekend, and when school gets out. I shouldn't say it's dead. It's soft. It's soft.
I think what we should do as a board is not worry so much about the date and figure out, first off, if we even want to sponsor. I mean, what if we all sit here and say we don't even want to sponsor anything and we're all talking about a date? You know, I think we should maybe move about discussion of whether we're funding. And then, obviously, I think the date is part of that conversation, but I feel like we're wasting all this time on getting hung up on the date when we should talk about whether we want to sponsor.
I was going to say, I don't think it's our purview to make the decisions for her event. I would like to discuss the concept of sponsoring the event. Yes, time may be an issue, but that she can solve. I have a problem with a couple of things about this event. First of all, I would like events to support our shareholders and also the restaurants and vendors in this community. In the other oyster events that I have looked into, they were located in still comes out of our pocket, and they're expensive to do logos, et cetera, et cetera. So I would really like this board to look at events as we're not going to plan their event. That's not our purview. But what the events can do for marketing our town as a whole, and I think that's really important.
I have a couple of questions. So you've got on here 5,000 attendees, but yet you've got 400 cars. If it's going to be out over at the Morro Bay Golf Course, you're not going to get that walking capability. How are you coming up with 400 cars with 5,000 attendees?
I have 4,000 attendees.
Oh, is it 4? Okay,
yeah,
I might be looking
okay.
at the old one.
The 400 cars are determined on Jim Miller from Miller Events. He's worked with me on a number of cars based on past events, and that amount of cars will do at the high school and then shuttle over.
Okay, so the high school is where you're planning to...
And so what we figured out is we will bring them over to the museum there, and then the shuttle will do a roundabout there and drop off people, and we have that area blocked, and they'll be ticketing at that entry area. It's kind of right by the campground. It's on the 13th green over at the bottom of the hill there.
Okay, and then I thought I had another question, but I have two different ones, and so there's conflict. Do you think that you'll be able to get 40 vendors at $500?
I do believe so. I think Saver, the questions I've had, it's about 60 vendors. Based on what I'm looking at as far as retail and food, yes,
okay.
I believe that's
realistic.
Realistic, yes.
Okay.
Going this way.
I have a couple comments. One thing I'm just a little bit leery about is this is a first-time event, so sometimes it takes a while for events to get going. So, you know, that amount of value to add to a new event would be something that would kind of be a red flag for me. And the other thing, looking at the funding request, some of these things like logo design, website production, marketing plan, program design, those are things I think that need to come from the planning group itself. I mean, I'd be a little bit leery asking Barnett Cox to do that for a group that's just starting, or even any group that comes to us, because that, I think that's something that the group itself needs to put together themselves. So that those are just the comments that I have just off the top.
Okay. Well, regarding in the past, we use internships for this. I believe this will really be a signature event, and all of the marketing efforts and the draw for the city and the draw and attention for options, I feel it needs the professional design and execution from a professional business. And that's where that cost is what I'm looking for to have help with. So it can be an ongoing growing thing. If we go 1 year into it with one design and then switch it for next year, it doesn't help with our branding and what we're trying to do here altogether, you know, as far as what it's bringing the city, tracking the amount of hotels and the kind of exposure that it brought for us. I know after this event I'll want to present to you again, and that's what I need help with, because in the past my events are done well.
But I mean, I don't know if, you know, if the restaurants, Giovanni's and the Galley, want to have a booth out there, but assuming they
my hope is to have them all involved in this Chef's Challenge and it be a part of the promotional media and PR that builds up to the event. Also have them, you know, do a award-winning oyster and challenge for that, and that also goes to what Jane had brought up, is what I have heard and the feedback that I've gotten is that on the events like Harbor Fest, some of the vendors or the restaurants in the area don't like that it's right there in their space, because they say they're losing business to the people that are on the streets versus them coming into their restaurants. So my idea was to have shuttling people brought into the town and then shuttling brought over to the festival, but then people can go back over for dinner into the restaurants and that sort of thing. And we're not pulling business away, or we're not in their front door, so to speak, blocking business, but we're adding an additional, bringing people in, and a venue that creates an atmosphere of a festival, but people are staying here for the weekend, eating dinners, breakfast, that sort of thing, coming over to the festival and then coming back. So that was where I came from as far as not having it northern Morro Bay, but having it over in the area. Plus, like I said yesterday, I was over there, and it's just absolutely beautiful. There's a view of the oyster farm. It just fits with what Morro Bay is and a piece of the beauty that's here, and showing that element. And I want it to be a high-end food and wine event, and have a reputation for something that's beautiful and not really street vendory, more high-end, you know, savor type of event.
I think that's a good answer. I think the sensitivity towards the local merchants and vendors is really important, and as long as you keep thinking about them in the process.
For sure.
Just two general comments. One regarding the venue, the suggested venue. I think it's terrific. I think for the kind of thing you're trying to pull off, that's a great location, and somebody should have been using that location, I think, in years past. So that's super. And then I think, I have done a little bit of going on the website and looking at the kinds of events your organization has been able to pull off in the past, and it's quite an impressive list of events that you have put on a repeat basis. So I draw a lot of comfort from your organization's ability, because you've done this before. You know how to pull off an operation of this size.
So, thank you.
That was just a general comment.
Karen?
You know, as I stated last month, I'm not going to participate in this conversation or vote on this due to my association with options.
So to get moving forward, I think it's a great event. I want to see it. I personally like the location. I know there's some talk about the location. I think it's nice to have it away from the waterfront. I think when you are up on the golf course, like you said, you can see the oyster beds right there. A couple concerns I have is the $500 vendor fee for the local vendors. I think that maybe there's some way to give a discount if you're in Morro Bay or something like that, just throwing an option. I'm not out to tell you what to do, but I think it'd be nice to have some kind of benefit for the people that are in Morro Bay, because I think I'd like to see it also support the locals.
for me, I have a see if we gave $25,000, what would be the budget impact? And I don't know what that
I think that's
would
a Sherry
be.
Question. Sherry, what do we have in that contingency or events line? Can you do you mind peeking at that and letting
I
us
believe
know
it's $12,000.
I believe it is too, and that is what it is.
It's as up to date as we've got.
And just to be clear, the $25,000 is a number I just kind of pulled out of a hat of what I would assume these services would cost, but that is a course.
I'd like to see us support some marketing side of this. I mean, we are a marketing board. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that we're doing support on some of the marketing for this event. That's where I'd like to see, I mean, the money kind of going towards personally. I know cash is always needed as well. I'm not against any cash, but...
Does anybody know how much money we have left for events through December?
Through December or through the end of the fiscal year? We have $12,000 allocated, and we have not spent any of it since we, you know, since July of 2011.
And so that is supposed to last us until when, Andrea?
June.
Next June.
June 30th.
Okay. And we still have a March deadline to review other events, correct?
Well, after we okay our or update our funding request, that will be the case.
Okay, guys, we got to move forward.
Okay, so I am going to actually see if somebody will throw a motion out there. And when the motion comes up to vote, I just want you to know I'm actually going to pass this over to Michelle. I'm going to abstain from this vote, only because there's a perceived idea that I might have a conflict of interest, although after consulting with the city attorney, there's no conflict of interest. However, I don't ever want anybody to come back and say I had one. So I'm going to turn this over to Michelle and let her be your go-to, guys.
Does anybody want to throw a motion of what they, any numbers out there for us to discuss?
Just, I'm sorry, I didn't bring with me, because we did that work one time a year or so ago about, you know, how much money returns to the T-bid based on how many rooms sold. So I'm thinking of this from memory, but to over a three-day, you know, three-night period, we would sell Morro Bay out, you know, more times than we've got rooms to be able to recoup something in the range of $25,000. So just from that measure, I think it's the number has got to be substantially reduced, which I'm sorry, because I really like to support the organization.
And overall, though, I look at it, you know, we're missing the mark by not having an oyster festival when we have this oyster farm here. So I don't see it as just that a weekend benefit. I see it as a year-long, a website that'll be up all year long that'll draw people to the area.
And that we... and find out what the actual date of the event is going to be, because that's still kind of up in the air. And then once that's established, then we can go forward with it. So that would be my motion.
Is there a second? $5,000. Going once. Going twice.
Well, I have a question first. What's our average annual room rate return? Average annual room rate.
The average annual hotel room rate, I think that would be better addressed. I'm going to throw it back to the T-Bit
yeah,
hoteliers.
I
don't know.
She's figuring that out. Okay, so we do still have a motion on the table with no second. So is the motion going to get a second?
Once I get that information, I'll be able to address it.
Then I'll be patient and wait.
2011 year to date, this is through August, and this is a calendar year, not a fiscal year. $97 was the average, it was the ADR. 51 was the RevPAR. That's compared to last year. This year was 97, last year was 93 on ADR, 51 versus 49, 2011 versus 2010 on RevPAR.
I'm sorry, $97 to almost $98.
I'll second it for $5,000.
Discussion?
I have a discussion.
Okay.
Even though I second. I would like the $5,000 to go directly to print ads, because then I know that Morro Bay is being advertised for this event. So I would like that to go specifically for print ads.
Do we have a friendly amendment?
Well, could you elaborate on print ads? You mean like what?
Well, to me, I would like this to go to out. I would like our money to go for advertising that is out of the area, to bring in people out of the area so that they will stay in hotels and eat here overnight, because this is a one-day event, so that people don't just drive in here for the day and leave.
Well, I think you're kind of, I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as print ad, but I think the website, people from all over the world look at our, will look at the website and see, you know, at something that we posted about this event there as well. So I'd have problems just limiting ourselves just to print ad.
I think I would agree with Nick in that a print ad means you can't advertise on the radio, for example. So I think we need to leave that open, a little more open-ended.
Well, if I can comment too, I did get radio sponsorship, so I can have that completely free. But just so you know, that wouldn't have to come out of that part of the budget. But I would love help with,
because I was more thinking more in lines of what we already have going. And then Barnett and Cox can kind of dovetail.
And a friendly amendment. Did Nick make the friendly amendment?
No, I just
don't
I,
want to. Okay. Yeah, so we have then no motion now on the table. Then that does not go anywhere. So we are back to square one. The amendment didn't go anywhere. So we still have the first and the second. Do we want any more discussion? And I'm going to pull for vote. Okay. So all in favor of Nick's motion that did not get amended? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, so motion carries $5,000 for marketing.
Okay, and remember there was a stipulation about
the date. For the record, could you just ask for those who abstained so we can get that on the table?
And any abstained?
Here.
Sorry.
Abstain?
Yep, me too.
And two abstain. Sorry, Andrea. Okay.
Now, do we need to discuss the date still, or is that...
I think what I would suggest is that we work with her on the date, because she's going to have to still come back. It's subject to the date. So I think that you are going to unfortunately have to come back with some dates. And maybe you can individually, because you can't Brown Act us, but you could individually throw out some different dates out there. Shoot it to Sherry, and then Sherry will work with you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Moving forward, we are now on... We're still on A, discussion of funding requests on A2, Morro Bay Triathlon. Thank you for your deep breaths, all.
Hello. We're back.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having us back.
So, for the record, just state your names.
I'm
Kristen McNamara.
Yishai Horowitz. So, like I said, it's a pleasure to be back. Last time... We had our proposal for the 2012 Morro Bay Triathlon, and you asked us to come back with some dates, and so we're here to propose two dates, and I can give you the positives and the negatives from our side of both dates, and then kind of put it towards you to decide which one works better for the TBID group. The first one was October 14th. It's a Sunday. And the other one was September 23rd. It's also a Sunday. The positive about the first date, the October date, was there's really no competing events going on at all. The negative is there's a very strong flood tide going in, so swimmers are going to have a hard time with the swim.
We like that. Yeah.
But they'll have a bonus on the way in. So, you know, the 23rd of September, it works better for our personal, schedule for events, but and the tides are great. It's total slack tide. The other thing is there is the Santa Cruz triathlon going on, which is not too far away. You know, we'd probably be able to draw more of the southern.
Or October 14th, right?
Yeah.
September 23rd or October 14th. October 14th being the more difficult swim.
Yes.
Okay. Thoughts, folks?
Could we get a review of where we're at on this? Because I'm having kind of a senior moment as far as remembering where we're at.
They requested funding?
Yes.
Okay. Let's. We do have a packet. Do you still? Okay.
Would
I can
like
share with you.
It,
I have it. I can share.
Yeah.
Because we can review it if you'd like.
So while he's reviewing it, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll move forward. Thank you for coming back. Personally, for me, I like the October 14th date.
Okay.
One, I think it's great to challenge the swimmers. I'm not one of those, so that I can easily say that. And second, I think it, being that it's a triathlon, it's a niche type of thing, I would like to not have to compete with Santa Cruz. I think Santa Cruz and I have some properties up in that area. We actually compete, I think, more than people realize that. It's funny, our numbers go up, their numbers go down. We do this back and forth between that. So I think we would be able to pull a lot of Santa Cruz market possibly in that October 14th. It's a three-hour drive. It's quick. It's easy.
Yeah.
So I really am leaning towards that October 14th date, not married to it, but I'm leaning to it. And then as far as looking at your sponsorship requests, one of the things you put on here, advertising in our out-of-market area magazines, $1,500 per ad, we develop ads in the house. How would you be opposed to us developing ads and using them versus you doing them in-house?
As long as we have control, because we've been in situations where we didn't and it wasn't effective.
Right,
and
but you would work
with...
Because we
need to show you, right,
right.
That
right.
It's working. And if we don't feel it's working, we don't have any control over it, then nobody wins.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
We'd absolutely be open to you designing, you know, working with you to develop
right,
that.
So you'd be you'd be
absolutely.
Sitting at the table working on what's
right.
going to work for everybody.
We just want
okay.
to be able to have buy-in because we want to manage the event so that it's successful on our end, too.
Oh, sorry. We'll do that.
And then I would assume that would be the same for the video as well, if we were to support that video.
Certainly. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Those were my two questions.
Jane, questions? Karen?
Correct. Do you have anything developed that was done video-wise from the last one? Anything posted on YouTube
not,
or anything?
We have not, because we've never had the budget to do so, nor the manpower. Like, we've been doing, slowly been getting our own, I have my own little camcorder, and we give it to friends to do it, but if we don't have the ability to do it, we don't. And I will say that it's made a huge difference. Like, our mud run and our adventure race, we both had semi-professionally produced, and we get huge hits on YouTube. Like, we've even got to a point where apparently when you get enough hits, you're allowed to monetize it. So whenever they say it, finally sent us an invite and said, hey, make money off of it, which I think is inappropriate for an advertisement, but it was a neat thing to hit and say, okay, yeah, we're getting residual marketing from that. So,
just for example, our mud run last year, we had about 400 participants. This year we had 1,100. So, yeah.
I had another question, and it had to do with, I lost it. Never mind.
We sponsored you last year, 350.
Actually, I would, our current status is 70% with the numbers we have now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect the
locals to increase, I expect this to be an outside draw. So I would say it was probably closer to what our normal average is, which is more like 80 to 90%.
Okay. And when you say outside draw, when you say out of town, do you mean?
We consider it anything that's outside of the county. So Bakersfield.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's got to be a decent
drive. Santa Maria.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean out of Santa Maria. So we're talking probably like within at least an hour's range. I don't remember what it is that we did the breakdown of it, but enough that we understand what you were looking for. So we try to keep it so it's at least it's not like you're heading in and then you're out again. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't include Santa Maria on those numbers.
No, that's not fair.
Or
Lompoc. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about
Point
Conception.
Santa Barbara.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And go ahead.
I remember last time you were in here, I would love to support the video with that Discover Your Rockstar and them going through the thing. I mean, I think that was, when you said that, I mean, I know you know how to market, and I think I would love to see that in an ad somewhere in a niche market of a triathlon magazine. I think I would love to support something like that. I think that this fits right into what Morro Bay is doing. I love all of these. I think boat racing, we're not utilizing our bay enough. And I think this is something that I'd really love to see. I don't think I'd love to support $6,500 worth. I'm looking more at maybe like the $2,000 for the video and $1,500 for the ad. I think those two things I would happily support. So I will make a motion that we would do $3,500 to include, it would be the $2,000 for the video and the $1,500 for the ad, and that we would work on that with BCA and their team to develop those two items together. And that's the motion I'd like to make.
Is there a second on that?
I'll second.
Is there a discussion?
Yeah, I just have one question. It's for Sherry. Is that realistic in terms of developing those two?
It's realistic to create one ad at the $1,500. The video would be not a professional video. I would go with your semi-professional, and we have some of those on our, you know, some videographers that are burgeoning that I think would, that number would work for them and would be.
Can I also add to that, because I don't know what your guys' relationship is, but the $1,500 is the placement of the ad, not the development and the placement. So
I think that still works.
And I'd second the motion.
I think Nick seconded it. We're in discussion. Sorry.
We're in discussion.
We're in discussion. Go ahead, Jane.
I have a question about the video support. Will we have access to that video to use it anytime
Absolutely.
We want?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. What we generally do is we post it on YouTube, and it like links embedded nicely. So
as long as
use it. We want you to, please.
Yeah, that BCA can get a copy of it, because that would be something we could have on our website.
Absolutely.
Under calendar.
We would love it too. So. Yeah.
And let's see, what's this way? Any discussion?
Do we need to consider, while we're in, do we need to consider, is the $3,500 going to cover those two items of the video and the ad? Which I think we didn't quite get a full answer on.
It depends on where the placement is. I mean, I would have to research where we're going. I mean, if we're going in triathlon.
Footwork, get a lot of the work part done, so we're not paying BCA to do a lot of that work, and then they could come in and kind of fine-tune it and freshen it up and put the logo on and give any other input to maybe keep those costs down to let that money fly a little farther.
Yeah.
So any further discussion?
This is, I'm sure, trying to figure out, this event, let's just say it's October 14th, is going to happen, and probably nobody in Morro Bay on October 13th is going to know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we don't promote it inside the town of Morro Bay. And so, consequently, nobody from Morro Bay walks over there and watches it, kind of thing.
Well, I think we would want to put it on our website, and we would want to promote it with anything we're currently doing.
And I'm,
an
I'm thinking
we would promote
a little bit more promotion inside the city of Morro Bay. I mean, the banner that goes across the street that says "Welcome Triathlon Runner, Morro Bay Triathlon Runners," sort of goes across the Embarcadero or at the entrance. A little more visible presentation locally, to get the excitement up and the knowledge up of what's going on. It addresses Tom a little bit in that, hey, this is something we're doing. We're trying to fill rooms. Here's an event that we've got coming in town, and we want everybody to know about it. It also probably hopefully gets some more people to go out and stand on the beach and you know, be there when people jump in the water and come back freezing.
Yeah. So I guess what we're asking
something?
Is that you would work with the chamber to make sure that there was cross promotion within our own city.
Yeah. One of the things that when in other towns, when they have events, they have banners like that, but they stay up for a minimum of 1 to 2 months prior to the event to get the people that are coming in before. But that is a chamber thing.
So we do have a motion on the table and a second, and I'd like to kind of hold us to task. Is there any more discussion? Okay, then let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed then? None. Looking forward to having you work with BCA and seeing those banners.
Yeah, we're really excited to work with you and promote Morro Bay, too. So.
Terrific.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To Morro Bay.
Thanks. Sorry, just one thing. What the date? Do you want to do the October date? Is that?
October 14th.
I'm okay. Sorry, yes. We were okay. On October 14th, head shakes. Mm-hmm. Okay. October 14th.
Those
now that we have the date, we'll do cross promotion.
Eat their protein.
We'll market it that it's tough.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Right.
Bye.
All right. Okay, and so we are on C, funding review.
You know, if I could just add one little thing. Picking up on what Jane said, if you had that banner up 2 weeks early, everybody that's here for Savor the Central Coast and everybody that's here for the Harbor Festival is going to see 2 weeks later is the Morro Bay Triathlon. And
yeah.
I guess that...
Got to promote it.
Exemplifies.
Can I just throw something in there about local promotions? Yeah, I'm absolutely... I would love to do the banners. We'll do posters in all the stores that will let us.
Okay.
And on all the... on American General Media, they have 4 radio stations. I should probably know it off the top of my head. It's KZOZ, The Crush, Q104, and... KJUG. Yeah, and we'll have ads going on those radio stations. And so, I mean, that should hit the local area. I mean, with the banner, the posters, and the radio advertisement, that should be, it should affect the local.
Review from Judy Salamaca. And Judy, I always manage to destroy your last name.
That's
I am
perfect.
So sorry.
Salamaca,
is that right? I feel like I'm destroying it. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy Salamaca, Morro Bay, and director of the Central Coast Writers Conference. And I promised Joan that I would talk fast and be as brief as possible. And you have a packet before you. I'm here today to give you the good news, the great news, and the in my opinion, the not-so-great news. But if we could go through... The funding allocation was for around $2,000 of in-kind support from Barnett Cox to work together on a radio promotion out of market. And based on the report that you asked me to submit, I just briefly want to go over the numbers. The radio buys were in Monterey and Bakersfield, and there is a sheet in there that shows you what was spent and how it was spent, and the projected income. I thought I was going to have the revenue totally from Cuesta yesterday, and I didn't. But based on a conversation or a meeting that we had yesterday, the projected income was $37,000. The media budget was the out-of-market was what we did with you. Besides the on top of that, we did the print, we did the social media, and locally there was a grant from the Slow PCC that we did print, radio, and television this year. And I mention that mainly because the numbers ended up being skewed this year. And the people were not traveling, it seemed. They didn't. We used to have closer to 50-50 of people out of market that would come to the conference. And this year we had a little over 300 that attended the conference, and 75 of those were from out of market. The survey that we do
is also, I gave you some samples of those. Most of the surveys that were turned in were actually from the Fresno Visalia area rather than from the Bakersfield Monterey. And that could be just, you know, who did the surveys too, because looking at the list, and I have addresses, emails, telephone numbers, everything of everyone that was there, were definitely people from Bakersfield, definitely people from the Monterey area, and but there were also people from the Valley. Not as much south as, but there were some people from Southern California as well. The Sherry and I worked on a radio promotion that offered people in Bakersfield and Monterey an opportunity to get reimbursed for their entire registration fee. And I have to admit that that I wanted to offer you is that there was great visibility locally as well as out of market from the brochures, from the social media that we did, and from the writers that were here. We had 13 writers that were here from all over, mainly from California. One from our keynote was from Pennsylvania. And the hits and the blogging and the social media that was done on how receptive they were for staying in Morro Bay, and the respect that they had for the conference, and how their visit here was so welcomed. I have a bit of a story here about our keynote. I called his wife. They were here for 5 days. They did an extended stay. He had a deadline of 2 books that he had to submit within about 10 days after the conference. So he was as busy writing as he was talking during the conference. And I called to see if we could go to breakfast or something, and his wife, Sarah Jo, said, no, he's down at the Rock writing. And he literally likes to go out into the marketplace, wherever he is, and have people around. He asks questions, and he then works and retells it in his. I saw it over and over again how much he liked Morro Bay, and the buzz around the conference itself was he had said he wants to move here someday. So let's hope he does that. So basically, as I said, the conference was a great success. We had a new pre-conference event that we thought we were going to get about 25 people. We had 80 people because it was based on social media and the tech toys and tools that of the publishing industry right now. And I just definitely want to be able to thank you for taking a chance with me. I wished it had worked better than it did. I think the conference is a jewel that we have on the Central Coast, and that we can encourage the more, if we can even encourage 13 writers to come here every single year, I think that's in our advantage to do that, because they will talk about us on their blogs and their media, and hopefully someday they will also work us into their into a setting. And I also provided, I wanted to give you a picture of the conference and who was there. And I want to make note of two in particular. This is the keynote was the first, but this was our Teen Writers Conference. This is a growing thing that we're doing in getting writers, teenagers that from high school and from middle school. We added middle school and high school. And they're sponsored by PG&E, and we had a great number of people, students that attended this year. And I also wanted to point out at the on the corner, that's why, and he has a new book coming out the 21st of November, and he's one of our stars here locally, not in Morro Bay. He lives in Arroyo Grande. So thank you, and any questions?
Thank you for the follow-up, Judy. And I think it was a great in-depth report. Even though you were expecting more, and you're here very, I think, humbly and apologetically. I think what you did when we look at even bringing in, you know, sometimes we look at it in terms of what did we get out of it for TOT collections, what did we get out of it for BID collections. Somebody, one of the our constituents for three nights had 13 rooms times three nights. That was a nice piece of solid revenue for them. So I think, you know, that it did help at least one of our constituents. Maybe more. We're not totally sure yet, and we appreciate your efforts.
I think it's an evolution that can grow.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate the partnership. The dates for next year are September 21st and 22nd. And I know you were talking about the 23rd. I was glad you didn't want to do the 23rd, because that's the Book and Author Festival. Although it happens in Mission Plaza, it's also we're building a weekend for writers.
Okay.
So I think that I'm glad you stayed off that date. And I do have the banner that, you know, that hung out in front of Cuesta's for at least 3 weeks before the event. So, and
well,
it's a bigger banner, but I won't show all of it.
Thank
you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Did we get any local press on this at all? Bay News or Tribune or anybody like that?
The Writers Conference? It was featured locally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And advertising. Definitely. You were on all of the advertising that went out.
I think more the event itself. Did it get publicized by the local newspapers or by Billy? Okay.
Yes. We had coverage, lots of coverage on KCBX. We had three interviews, I think, on KCBX. We had at least four interviews on Dave Congleton, and we had an article about our keynote and what was happening from the front page, the Tribune, in the ticket. So we had good publicity for the event. Yes.
Thank you. And in between Judy and Savor the Central Coast Molly, I am going to make an announcement. All seafaring people, get your sea boots on. The Lady Washington just came into port. Head down to the Embarcadero and check out the Black Pearl with her real name, the Lady Washington. Go meet the crew and see a beautiful replica of a lovely wooden sailing ship. So get yourselves down there today. Have lunch while you're at it. At one of our lovely restaurants. Okay, and so now we will bring up Molly Kano with the VCB, and she's going to do a review of Savor the Central Coast for us. Thanks. Hi, Molly. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you. So I'm here this morning to do an update for you on quarterly achievements for the first quarter of the VCB. We'll quickly go over those. And then 3% of our membership did renew right away. So it was one of those quick things. They were able to fulfill the invoices that came in. And so we didn't need to do that additional calling with just that 93%. So I think that's an incredible return for returning members. And it's showing that we're really building that value and creating that value for memberships to be involved in. Taking a look at what's next in terms of membership, we will be hosting our annual Tourism Vision Workshop. It will be taking place on December 15th in San Luis Obispo at the Courtyard by Marriott. And we do hope that you all attend. I do believe you have received your invitation. And please mark your calendar for it. It's a great opportunity to get together. Lots of discussions. It's really a discussion format so that you can share your ideas and your thoughts and really be able to build what tourism will look like as we continue to move forward. So please mark your calendars for December 15th. Jumping over to group sales activities, some notable groups that we've had in the county during the first quarter, one of which was the Sunset sales team. They invited their entire sales team to come and be a part of Savor the Central Coast that weekend. What that means is that their sales team was getting excited about it. They were able to experience the event, see what was happening, and from that be able to spread the word to the advertisers with Sunset that and kind of carry on that additional partnership. After the Sunset Savor the Central Coast event, that was when they had their meeting. So they came nationwide and held their meeting here in San Luis Obispo County. We've also hosted the SuperFam, the UK SuperFam, which Morro Bay was very involved in as well this year. So the SuperFam attendees, who they are, they're the top-selling agents from the UK market. So UK, of course, is our number one overseas market that comes into our county. And so the folks that came over were the 16 top-selling agents. So they were able to experience our county firsthand so they can continue to sell us and promote our destination as a place to visit during the long haul holidays, if you will, for the UK market. In addition, one of the things that we have done is also create a group sales advisory committee, and that committee is really the advisory group to take a look at our developing focus for the group sales market within the Visitors and Conference Bureau. Joan Solu is a part of that committee, so she's been able to participate and share some direction and some participation. So we're continuing to hear also what Morro Bay has to say and how we can develop that market further. Taking a look at what's coming up for group sales, a busy, busy season with trade shows. So this quarter, we're really focused on our trade shows. Starting off, actually, they take place at the same time. The CalSAE event, Seasonal Spectacular, up in Sacramento. We're dividing and conquering, so Brittany Garcia will be headed up to Sacramento to represent us there with eight of our eight delegates from our partnership, from the membership. And I will be taking the show on the road to the NTA convention, and that's the National Tour Association convention. So that's where I'll be speaking with a lot of those tour ops, spread the word about San Luis Obispo County. We're also coordinating a spring FAM visit, so a familiarization visit for writers. We're hoping to position that sometime also near the SLO International Film Festival to be talking about, you know, our destination in coordination with that. So that's on the docket. We've also registered for two California media events. So we've registered for the media event in LA, being able to take the show on the road and tell the California press, the LA market specifically, about San Luis Obispo County and what we have to offer. We will also be partnering with Visit California to go to New York. So this is one of those partnerships where we wouldn't be able to do that on our own, you know, with the budgets that we have. But because of our opportunity to partnership with Visit California, we're able to take the show on the road to New York and really hit those key journalists that are in that kind of hub. Of course, New York is the hub for a lot of the national press. So we'll be able to take the show on the road there. One of the important things to know is that in addition to just the opportunities that are coordinated with Visit California through those segments, we will also be conducting desk sides or additional meetings where we sit down with some of these journalists outside of the organized activities so we can share San Luis Obispo County further. Taking a look at marketing, during the first quarter, our countywide themed event that we celebrated during that time, in addition to Savor, was California Wine Month. California Wine Month in September often gets overshadowed by Savor the Central Coast, but this year we did a huge campaign really focusing on social media and being able to increase Facebook likes and really focusing on that social media campaign. So what you'll see is that we had about 1,100 new likes on our Facebook page and over 500,000 Facebook impressions from this campaign alone. We're continuing our monthly advertising in the Fresno Bee and the Bakersfield Californian. Those are our retail co-op opportunities for our individual members to be able to place advertising with us at an affordable rate. We're also continuing our outreach with Cal Poly, which this is a great opportunity. We partnered with them on the SOAR program, and what the SOAR program is, it's an orientation where they invite new parents and new students to come and be a part of the, to experience the university. So what we were able to do was to distribute to over 1,000 of the registered attendees. Every single one of them received our visitor guide when they checked in. So they all stayed on Cal Poly campus at this point, understanding that they wanted to know where their students were going to be. And then by in the effort giving them the visitor guide, we were then able to share with them, as you come back for your next 4-plus year of investment with Cal Poly, here are some of the activities that you can be able to do, the places that you'll be able to stay, restaurants you can frequent, so that they have that piece. And we learned that, of course, the visitor guide is a coffee table piece, so it's something that they'll keep with them and be able to use as a reference for their next 4-plus years. Taking a look at what's next, we've got Restaurant Month starting in January. So January, this will be our fifth annual Restaurant Month. So timing has gone by quite quickly, and we're excited to have actually the fifth one starting in January. We have 33 restaurants that have already visitor guide distribution. As you can see, we've been spreading the word and getting the visitor guides out in the hands of many potential visitors. What's next? We're in the process of just finalizing our 2012 visitor guide. So where we are at on a fiscal year calendar, our visitor guide, of course, is annual on the calendar schedule, the January through December. So we're just about to launch our 2012 guide. Just actually tomorrow, we'll be sitting down with our publisher and doing our last once-over of everything. So thank you again for your participation and support in that guide. And stay tuned for another beautiful guide to be seen. Taking a look at social media and blog activities, one of the things I'd like to point out to you is we see that our Facebook impressions, our Facebook likes, if you will, increased by 340%. That's a huge number. That's largely to do with that wine month, that September wine month promotion that we did. So those are the types of things that we're able to track the return on our investment and the time that we've spent in those different promotions. Jumping down to our travel app. As you know, our travel app was developed and launched in March, so it's still a pretty new piece. Something that we're excited to see is that 25% of our traffic to our mobile site is coming from that travel app. So we're seeing that it's working. Of course, it is a wayfinding app, so the idea is that when folks are already here in our county, they're able to download that app and use that as they travel through the area to locate hotels that they can make the reservations at if they haven't made the reservations yet, to find restaurants that they can go eat at if they're, you know, nearby. It pulls it up by a map. Wine tasting, shops, things like that. So that's all listed right there on the travel app. Jumping over to website activity, you'll see a 4% increase. Something to know about this. Our website has been around for a very long time and has had strong traffic, so we won't ever be seeing really that 340% increase we see with things like social media. So looking at a 4% increase, that's a really healthy increase for a website with the history that we have. What's next with the website is we're actually working on developing an RFP as well for this component to work with a contractor to really do that facelift on the website and refresh it and give it the new look and feel with the new branding that we've been rolling out within this year as well. Jumping over to film commission activities, 20 film contacts throughout that first quarter. You can see some of the highlights, including, Man vs. Food and TLC. One of the exciting things that I'd like to share with you guys as well, just recently, actually, you had a catalog shoot that happened here in Morro Bay, actually over at the golf course. So they had contacted me, Restoration Hardware, looking for an opportunity to find a location that would have that kind of Nantucket feel. That's what they were asking me for. And they wanted to be able to find kind of a green area, but that you could still see the coast and still be able to get the water in the background. Of course, none other than the Morro Bay Golf Course was the perfect fit for that. So we were able to work with them on that and be able to work with the golf course in the county to make this photo shoot happen. It was something that has never been done with the golf course before. So we had some things that we worked through and were able to make restaurants and culinary vendors, two celebrity chefs, a little curveball thrown at us right near the end, but it ended up being a great opportunity and showed us that it's actually a really good marketing piece for us. We don't need to just invest in one celebrity chef. We can find two that will draw two different demographics. So busy with that. 15 separate events, of course, 4 amazing days on the Central Coast, and we all know that one invaluable partnership with Sunset Magazine. taking a look at our overall event results. Attendees, we had 8,872 event attendees. That's a 20% increase in attendance over 2010. Taking a look at our media impressions, we're looking at $128 million, and our total economic impact of $2.93 million, so almost $3 million of an economic impact. Consumers, of course, loved the event again this year. 88% said that the event met or greatly exceeded their expectations. 82% said that they would return again next year. And then asking the folks that reside on the Central Coast, would they recommend this event? 80% said they would recommend this event to friends and family outside of our area. Taking a look at the breakdown of the guests. So the total guest count, again, just shy of that 9,000. Something that was really interesting to me, we saw the ticket sales going really strong for Saturday. We kept seeing ticket sales strong for Saturday. When everything vetted out and we actually crunched the numbers after the event, it turns out that it was pretty even between Saturday and Sunday. So that was something great to see. We didn't have that big rush of at-the-door ticket sales for Saturday. However, they were there selling tickets at the door on Sunday. We also saw, according to our online ticket sales, that nearly 50% of the visitors of the event were from outside the county, and 5% were actually from out of state. Something interesting here, 22 states were represented. And so it's really showing us that this event has the potential to be a national event as well. Of course, we know Sunset Magazine advertises or distributes their magazine in the 13 Western United States. Every single one of those states were represented in attendance, and additional states as well. So some great opportunity for us to continue to work on that. 24% of the attendees were from the LA area. So we see that 24%. Yes, it's a great number. We're glad to see that. But we really see that as the opportunity. There is so much growth that we can do in that LA market. That's our challenge for year three. So also taking a look, 32% of the attendees did say that they attended more than one event, something in addition to the main event, which shows that it really is working towards that destination event, encouraging a longer length of stay, not just coming in for the one day. Taking a look at the PR and media highlights. So we had over 100 journalists participate in this event. When we're talking about that 128 million impressions, I think something important to note is that these are all pre-event impressions. So these are all the coverage that we received coming up to the event. And now we're really seeing, starting the end of October and going through, through now, we're really seeing a lot of those journalists who participated in the event. They're producing their articles and their coverage as we speak. Of as well, and then being able to tell their story in a really, third party, way that they can talk about the experiences and share that with the 13 Western United States and such. So it's a great opportunity. Did you all have a chance to see this? I can pass it around. Okay, perfect. Jumping over to the economic impact of the event. So we took a look at that near $3 million. That's an 83% increase in economic impact from 2010. I think what we can really, we see the correlation there between the amount of increase in the out-of-county visitors, of course, is one of the main connections that we'll see with that increase, that 83% increase in the economic impact. Taking a look, nearly $1 million of those dollars were spent specifically by those out-of-county visitors, spending in hotels and restaurants and, filling up their gas and all of those things that they need to do while they're visiting our county. We saw 56% increase in our impact on the hotel and motel bed tax, so around a $77,000 impact on that. Jumping over to the consumer profile and the demographics. So really the telling story here is that the majority of the visitors that attended the event were in that $100,000 or higher average household income segment. So we're seeing that those are the visitors that we want to encourage to keep coming back. They have extra money to spend, and we'd like to keep encouraging them to spend it here in San Luis Obispo County. Taking a look at the age breakdown, I think it's pretty clear to us, and we expect to see that the large majority of the attendees were those baby boomers. We know that those are the bread and butter of our visitors coming into the area as well. But what I'd really like to point out to you is that 21% in that 25 to 44, that's your millennial generation. That's your younger group of visitors, the ones that might not have the high average household incomes or, the big, incomes that they can spend currently, but those are your long-term investment visitors. Those are the ones that we will get to fall in love with our area when they're young, and continue to bring their families back and continue to come here for generations. So opening night at Hearst Castle, what we'll do is now go through each of the individual events, and you'll see on there that there's a breakdown between attendees versus the paid attendees.
I'm going to ask if you can just do an overview, a snapshot for us. And
sure.
The reason why is because we have such a big agenda.
Definitely.
If you can just snapshot us, that would be great.
Okay.
I think.
So what I'll do is just speed right over to the adventure tour on Friday. So, of course, you know that you did host two of your adventure tours here in Morro Bay. Taking a look at the breakdown of those, you'll see that the large majority of those attendees were from outside of the area. So only 18% from here within San Luis Obispo County. You can continue to read through some of the individual events. Of course, the event at Santa Margarita Ranch and with the Battle of the Bay. So you nearly sold out the Battle of the Bay. It was over 80 of the 100 tickets were sold in advance for this activity. I believe it's about 40% of those visitors were from outside of the area as well. So lots of people interested in what Morro Bay is doing and seeing the impact of the oysters as well. So what's up?
I'm just curious that we didn't.
The Bay Area, what we saw, and actually from this, that of the guests, so we took a look at the demographics or the location of all the guests, geographics of all the guests coming in. And so they, we really saw it was from the L.A., the San Diego, and out of area. Mm-hmm. So they weren't represented in ticket sales.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Great overview, Molly. Thank you so much for coming out. Thanks for your patience today. I appreciate it. I think we all appreciate it.
My pleasure. And please, if you have any other questions of the things that I sped through, just, send me an email and I'll be happy to answer that for you.
Great. And we look forward to having Sherry work with you all year.
Most definitely.
Okay. There we go. And we have a mass exodus. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so now we move back up to B, the review of the funding request form. And that's Nick. For that, I'm going to turn it over to Nick.
Okay, I am going to make it
Machine
quick.
Gun it, Nick.
What? I passed out the updated version of the Morro Bay Lodging and Tourism Alliance funding request. And in the first paragraph, I should have highlighted everybody's, but I didn't. But applicants must appear in person at the T-bid meetings. I kind of squeezed that in there. I had some issues about, or I had some problems editing this PDF file. So, but anyway, maybe I can get some help with that. But I added that in there. That was one of the things we wanted. Under applications are reviewed, schedule meetings in January and February, so we can review them in March. I think that was what we wanted to do. Did you get a copy? I'm sorry. Okay. And then we wanted to have the applicant submit 8 copies of the application, 1 electronic copy to the city clerk. We added that as well. And I think, and then there was also an issue about, review form had to be completed to be considered for future funding of continued events. We wanted to add that, but on the last page in the top paragraph, that line is already there in the fine print there. Let's see. And I think that's all I had. This was a few months ago, so we were scribbling down notes, and I looked at the minutes, but I also just kind of noticed that that we wanted to make sure that no events were
conflicted with our Parks and Rec. I think that was one other thing that I didn't add in there that I found out later.
That it didn't do what?
That I have these notes scribbled, says no events during rec and park, you know, our city events, something going on with Rec and Park. Make sure it didn't conflict with, no? Okay. Then we don't need that in
I'm
there.
I'm not sure what that was. I don't recall that, but
okay.
It's my brain.
That was one thing I was looking later. At because it says on here at the regular scheduled meetings in January.
Okay.
The opening, well, yeah.
Actually, anyway. On my notes, I have down that we opened it December 1st through February 28th. But those were just my notes that I could be in.
I didn't see a December in there. All I saw was January. But
2 months is enough time to get it in.
Yeah.
January 1st? Good. Okay. So can Nick make those changes and we'll allow that to be accepted for file?
Okay, please.
Nick, if you can make those changes and get those to Andrea, we'll have a motion to accept Nick's changes as mentioned, which are to move that to a January 1st closing, February 28th, end of day. We note that you must return the review form has already been included. And also that he's a changed applicants must appear in person at the MBT bid meetings. They don't have to come to all of our meetings. That's very vague. They have to come to the meeting when we review it, the March meeting.
Sure. So are you thinking about just dedicating that March meeting to review?
That's what I'm...
Okay. That'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Right. March. Well, March, because April we go into the budget. But if we dedicate our new business that time to review, we may have nothing.
Yeah, so. We may also have a lot. I think we should give
I
it to 2 months.
I think we're going
to
get a lot.
Let's do it in just March and get it
I
over
I think
with.
We should do it in 2 months.
Let's say, okay, March or April.
Because if we don't know what the agenda is going to be, we can't see the future.
Okay, March or April. We can't see the future. March or April. Okay, March or April. So...
So add review in March and April?
Yeah, applicants must appear in person at their scheduled review in March or April at the MBT bid meeting scheduled for March or April. Is that correct?
Yes.
It sounds great. So is there a motion to accept those changes for file if Nick makes those changes and
And I'm just going to give them to Andrea.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I make that motion. As stated.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There you go. Motion passes. I'm liking that.
Who motioned and who seconded?
You.
Thank you.
Okay. Good job, everyone. That one moved fast. That was the fastest thing we've done today. Okay, here we go. And now, update on a California Welcome Center in Morro Bay. For that, I'm going to turn it over to John.
And so that pretty much wraps it up.
Okay.
Not ready.
Actually, we, I guess as a subcommittee, thought we weren't really coming back until December. Okay. So all we really did was we submitted, went out last night. I'm not sure if everybody got it in time. A digest of all the documentation that we've gotten from the state regarding the Welcome Center, which I think if you look at that, it answers an awful lot of the questions, like can you have it along with your visitor center or share with Chamber of Commerce, and the answer to all those things is yes. A couple of interesting tidbits of information that we picked up. Five of the 20 visitor centers currently are either in outlet centers or shopping malls. And the one that I'm sure of, which is Pismo, is actually paid for by the outlet center. It's not paid by the T-bed or anybody like that. So it's really there for a different purpose. It's so that severely really restricts locations of where you can put these things. So our visitor center location currently would not qualify because we can't accommodate RVs and buses down there. So when you start looking for different locations, the dynamics change substantially because you probably have got a lot of money you'd be putting into a building. Your investment up front to get this thing started would probably be substantial. And I think at this point of our investigation, that's probably maybe the deal breaker that we're looking at. But if it's okay with the group, we would like to actually come back in January, if possible, Christmas being trying to make the December meeting shorter.
Sure.
Which yeah. I realize won't happen, but we'll just try it anyway. So if January is okay, we'll come back. The three of us will come back and make our final report in January.
Sounds great. Thanks for the update. Okay, looking forward to that in January. Some way I feel like I'm screaming because everyone left. Let's see here. And now we will be moving to, thank you, monthly reports, everybody. And I'm going to go through these really quick. A, the trade show subcommittee did not meet. The website subcommittee report will be covered in new business under item A. Hotel packaging subcommittee report. Did you have anything to report on, Jane?
Yeah, we did meet. Do you want to start it or go ahead? Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
We did meet. Unfortunately, we did meet with Michelle. I guess there's a couple of things we kind of want to throw out. It may turn into more discussion than we really have time to get into today. But over the past week or 10 days, I've gone through about 12 or 14 websites of other cities, looking at not only it was part of redesigning of our website, but then looking at it specifically as it related to packaging. And if you look at these other 12 or 14 cities' websites, and I tried to pick smaller cities that are tourism-related types of cities, so north and south, Lake Tahoe, Healdsburg, places like that, Palm Springs, Santa Barbara, and the locals around here are in there. And basically what you find is there's no one-size-fits-all kind of packaging thing for at any city that we could find anywhere. Another thing that's interesting that you see there is a lot of the packages that are put there are similar to the packages we're offering, although I think we could learn something by inventorying the way some of the other cities have packaged, because there's stuff being done in other cities that we really don't reflect in ours. But by and large, if you look at any of those cities and you looked at our city, you know, you go to the front page, you see either lodging or specials and packages. And then you go to, or you go click on lodging and you get specials and packages, you hit specials and packages, and it would be hard to distinguish Morro Bay from any other city. You may have 50 motels or properties in a particular city, and you've got about 80% of the people don't have anything, any packages or specials, and about 20% of the people have packages and specials that are shown on the website. So I think that kind of drives us as a packaging committee. What we've been talking about is a little bit different of an approach. We can't cause hotels to step out and put a package online. And people who are putting packages out there have got some nice ones out there.
Our job to not put together the package, it's the job of a hotel association. There's a very fine line for a hotel and restaurant association, and our job is to market our hoteliers the best we can through Morro Bay. What we do have is we have a specials page that needs to be updated on a regular basis. And so as a packaging committee, we recommend that by the 10th of every month that the packages that you want your hotel to put forward to give those to BCA, and they're up by the 15th of every month. And that's what we were supposed to be doing. And we did it last month, but it fell through the wayside this month. Having different packages, there's actually some nice things about that, too, because we have different types of visitors that come to Morro Bay, and then they can choose what packages they want. For us to have, like, stay two nights and get a third night free, X amount of people can go ahead and decide they want to do that on theirs. But we can put that as an idea on the hotelier site, and then they can go ahead and put that where they want their click-through to be.
If I might make a suggestion to the packaging subcommittee, I think you're right in terms of a lot of the generic package availability or possibilities that are out there for hotels, that it's kind of the hotels or maybe the hotel and motel association's responsibility to kind of build that kind of package. But maybe since we're becoming involved in events and supporting events, that the subcommittee might look at being able to create packages and make them available through the portal, the TBID portal on the visitor center for packages for these events.
Well, that's
that
what
might
we're
be
talking
a good
about.
Direction to go.
We're talking about the portal that the hoteliers can access, and we can say,
here's a you can package up with the wine wrangler. You can package up with the golf people. You can package up this. But we are not a salesperson. And that's for a different discussion. We are not directing your visitors center. We are not directing a salesperson who's really the most effective person to market outside of the area to bring people in and also market a complete package that our hoteliers can tack onto.
So I also think that you're suggesting that the website subcommittee, as we develop further, come back with a better portal for the hoteliers, because what we had in the past totally didn't work. They received a code that they lost. The code is gone. They need to be able to have, just like there's a members one, they need to press the button, the easy button, period, and have it be done. So, and all the information needs to be on there, and we'll drill down on what that information is from a website subcommittee side, definitely it should include the packages. So let us put this topic on for a future agenda item.
Let us come back at the committee one more time, I think, with suggestions on the portal idea and suggestions for the content of the portal, things like that, and then maybe we make it a discussion item. But
to BCA, the packages that are on there are outdated. We need packages updated, and no e-blast has gone out to any of the hoteliers.
We'll get that out, and it'll be up, I would say, by tomorrow.
I have a new email address for someone, so I'll get that to you afterwards. Okay,
got it.
So thank you very much for all of your careful consideration, your thoughts. That was a great, great ideas came out of that. Thank you. And we'll look forward to your report like a week out, and we'll get it on the agenda. Creative subcommittee did not meet. Public relations subcommittee did not meet. Visitor and Conference Bureau report was covered by Molly, I think, in depth. The County Business Improvement District did not meet. And so now we are on to new business.
We're
ahead of schedule.
We actually need to do the marketing report. Failed to make the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marketing report was supposed to be up there by trade show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
So we'll go ahead and proceed with that.
My fault.
Do you want me to just speed race through it?
Sorry.
We're ahead
of schedule now because we skipped you. So go ahead.
All right. Okay. We are looking at the marketing for the bulk of October and going a little bit into November because it was so impressive that we needed to go there. And this is a CPC ad that ran in 805 Living for November. They started using this shop, play, dine, stay, which we thought was very effective, and they got great placement. It's in the first 20 pages of that publication, and it is distributed from West LA to all the way up to Monterey. So they've done a continuing campaign in 805 Living. CPC also is starting up a Yahoo banner campaign. It started about 8 days ago. We will have stats on that we'll provide to everybody. Again, they went with the shop, play, discover more, obey. And they're running alternative 3 weeks at a time in the Sacramento, Modesto, Fresno area, and then they go 3 weeks into LA, San Francisco, and that continues all the way through May of 2012. We're working on the Highway 1 billboard. This is the current billboard we are working hard to get it up within the next 30 days to have a new billboard up. It's still in approval stages, and right off the bat, we realized that the next exit needs to be changed to not the next exit, so we will be making that change. But it should be approved within 10 days, and we will be, hopefully have it up by December 15th. So dramatic. I just think there's a dramatic change to what we're going to be showing on the highway as people are going in. So we're excited about that. This is the LA Times .com e-blast that went out on the autumn escape, and we are working on the winter escape, and it will go out on Tuesday the 21st. We're doing as much online advertising as we can during this Thanksgiving and Christmas period, which has the most online viewership as far as Cyber Monday hitting, all the Christmas shopping going on. So we're really hitting some great, getting some great impressions. These are just some stats on the open rate, which is reporting every 14 days so that we can change the campaign. You know, if we see that one ad is doing better than another, we're able to quickly flip and get better impressions and more clicks depending on how the ads are performing. We had, on our first report, just had a comment from our representative at Sunset, and that we were actually exceeding their industry standards for both for the click-through rate. So I think this is going to be a great campaign going forward. This is the TripAdvisor.com that started in October. We have a sponsorship page as well as a banner ad campaign running. Again, the representative got back to us after the 14-day startup and let us know that we're achieving a 0.16% click-through rate, and the average industry standard is 0.10%. So we're excited and looking forward to growth from TripAdvisor. Have seen a lot of good communications on that.
I went and looked at both of these, and they look beautiful when they come up on your... both TripAdvisor and the Sunset look beautiful when they come up. Stunning.
And some of the press that happened during the month of October, this was a front page, beautiful photo. It does not do it justice on this PowerPoint, but this young boy paddleboarding through this sea of seals and otters, and they did a double truck inside Bay News, all photos like this of Morro Bay. So thought it was a great representation for the city. Also had some pickups on the Tall Ships press release. This was in on the SanLuisObispo.com website as well as in the paper. And on this press release, on that press release, we sent it out not only statewide and locally. It went out to all of the school districts in San Luis Obispo County and Fresno and Bakersfield. I fielded myself about 22 responses to the school. They had that education day, which is obviously tomorrow for the Tall Ships, and so lots of teachers and principals and administrators interested in it. So we felt good about that. This is the Battle of the Bay winner that we did. We're not going through that. again, these are some news releases that have happened or are in the works. And we had the Tall Ships press release. We have a holiday events press release that went out just 2 days ago, which is both the La Luminaria event and the Lighted Boat Parade. And we are also planning to distribute a winter activities that'll go all the way through February of 2012. We'll get December in again, hit the Bird Festival, hit everything that's happening through those winter months for Morro Bay. Into the analytics, and I'll apologize for them going out late, but I hope that you all received them, and these are the results of some of those analytics. We are looking at total website visits, and we are down 10%. It is better than we did last month, and we're working very hard to get those numbers up. Again, we've got at least 4 online campaigns hitting in these first 2 weeks of November. So hoping that that's going to drive new visitors and a very steady, returning visitors, that people are staying on the site and wanting to check it out for new events and opportunities. We saw this trend. Actually, it was much more dramatic last month. We did some research right before the meeting about why the smartphone visitors' percentages are going down. There is a nationwide trend for people not using their smartphones as much as using smart devices. So we're looking at a decline of 33% on smartphones here, but looking at a 73% increase on devices, talking about iPads, notebooks, things like that. Those devices are getting smaller and smaller, and people are just using them, they're the new thing. Just like smartphones were last year, the devices are this year. So if we combine those numbers, we're looking very healthy. So we'll continue monitoring that and researching the trends. Looking at the top 10 referring URLs, we noted this last month that morrodunes.com, we're getting a lot of activity from there. One of the reasons is they can click right through to, obviously, from their site to morrobay.org. So I think it's a natural progression. It's not, you know, a huge concern to us, but it's it hit third last month, and it's up on the top this month. So we also saw an increase for Facebook.com, which I think is part of the Facebook ad campaigns that we've been doing. TripAdvisor.com came way up from last month. I think that's the definitely the campaigns. And then ConstantContact.com, which hasn't shown up for quite a while, came in on that ninth position, and I think it's because of the email blasts that have been happening. Top 10 referring cities. L.A. moved up quite a bit from last month, so we were excited to see that. And we're starting a campaign on the San Jose MercuryNews.com, so hoping to raise those numbers as well, because I know that's important. And those are our top 10. The lodging report, which includes both generic click-throughs from the website and Jackrabbit, is up amazingly, 74%. Good number there. And this is looking at Jackrabbit only. We're also up, which we've been down the past few months. So this was an interesting, you know, there's some data that supports this, that if you guys have vacancies, they don't get locked out of Jackrabbit. I've, you know, talked extensively with Steve Mead, so I think that this is what's happening, is that we're in a season that's not as strong as summer. And so Jackrabbit is having some success there.
And do you think that all of these click-throughs to look at the vacancies or this traffic to the hotel site is due in part to some of those targeted email blasts that we did?
I think
the one on lodging. So those are so important for our constituents.
Yeah, I think that's the initial lodging increase. We'll continue to grow that trend line. And this is the email addresses, added 29 new email addresses to database. We did have about 80 unsubscribes. We feel like that's very directly related to Saver. We had over 800 people sign up for that ultimate getaway, and there's bound to be some bounce back of people, you know, not wanting to get the information. On that note, we did contact the ultimate getaway winner. She is ecstatic. Her son goes to Cal Poly, and she's just very, very, very excited. So we're working on getting dates and getting her in here. So that is the database info. Facebook, we've been seeing some great months of new Facebook likes, and interesting that we are very close to the VCB website. You know, we're almost at 3,000. The VCB website or the VCB Facebook page is at about 3,400. So we are looking at, once we hit that 3,000 number, doing some contesting and giveaways to build up to 4,000 very quickly. We can, you know, there's ways to move those numbers, and so that's a strategy we'd like to employ. These are some of the Facebook posts. I'm just going to go very quickly through that. We've had some very good response to some of our posts, and then people posting that, you know, people are commenting back and forth. This was all about the tall ships. Lots of photographs being introduced on the Facebook page, and lots of great interaction. The end. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions for Sherry?
No.
Okay, we have accepted that report for file. Sherry, thank you very much. DOT continues to inch up even in these shoulder seasons. So just want to be thankful for that as Thanksgiving nears. So now we move on to new business and the seventh inning stretch. So A, determine the direction. Can't even do it. Determine the direction and funding of the website. And for this, I think I'm going to turn it over to Sherry to kind of explain that kind of backside of the website, the spider web. The website subcommittee did meet as a joint website subcommittee meeting with the three members from Community Promotions and Craig. And was John Weiss there? No. And Craig from the Chamber of Commerce. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember who all was in the room. And the three from Community Promotions are Tracy Neal, Ed Krovitz, and Bill Stafford. Oh, and so, and then the three from our side is Michelle, myself, and Karen. And so we all sat around together and listened, and Jennifer Liu came, and so they gave a great description of what was going on the backside of the website and the direction, their recommendations for direction.
We did at that subcommittee meeting. Jennifer Liu is our website administrator. She came in with research that she'd done on the current website and making that a very user-friendly and also administrator-friendly website so that key administrators could make changes to the website in an efficient and quick way rather than having to go through BCA for every change. And that was the bones of it, and also talked about the redesign on the front end, that we would definitely suggest a redesign of the entire site. So we're looking at a new face and a very functional back end. We provided an estimate to the website subcommittees to build this website. And it was the estimate came in at anywhere from $20,000 to $27,000. There were some discussions of how the that would be divided up between the entities that are involved, TBID, CPC, and the chamber. We were tasked with some providing how much the chamber was involved in the website, how much of the website they actually commanded. Kind of a tough thing to get to the bones of, but we outsourced it to a company and also had our website committee or our website team look at it. Came up with, it was 23% to 25% that they felt the chamber was responsible for on that website. We came out with a 20% number, just knowing that it wasn't, it's a pretty hard thing to calculate. So I offered up whether they wanted to split it in a 50%, 30%, 20% calculation, which would be 50% TBID, 30% CPC, and 20% the chamber. And that was about the crux. People see, both committees and the chamber seemed agreeable to getting a new website, but the percentages were not decided upon and still have not been.
Chair Solo, may I add just a little bit more information that will help you in your discussion? This was on your on the CPC agenda today, and they have decided to hold off on a decision based on the fact that the city, and I see City Attorney Rob Schultz is here. He'll probably want to throw in a little bit, but the city will be planning to meet with the chamber in the very near future to talk about just the basics of the domain, who owns that, some specifics. And so based on that information, the CPC felt like they couldn't really make a decision today. Wanted to keep you informed of that.
Can I also ask that we get an impact study from the Budget Committee, too, before we go in a further discussion?
Are you saying an impact of where we're at in actual?
No, just that the costs and how it would impact our budget and all the other areas.
We do have website money set aside in our budget. The line is
it's $18,200.
I know, but that's a lot less than what we're anticipating, isn't it?
Well,
it depends
50%.
On
if there's stakeholders who really need the information pulled together, and we need a strong website. The website's the backbone of our marketing. We send everything there. We're sending the billboard there on Highway 1. I mean, we send everything to the website. And if we don't have a strong website, we can put all the money in the world out there and let it fly away, but we're guiding them into something that is okay right now. It's okay. But, you know, it could be working harder for us. And if we continue to put more money into it to maintain it without trying to move it forward, without doing the right thing. So, I haven't discussed this with the website subcommittee. I'm looking at, okay, it's roughly $13,500 if we're talking about our percentage. That would probably get the ball rolling. That would probably get the ball rolling. No matter what happens with the domain name, if the chamber comes back and says, you know, we own the domain name, we don't want to pay our 20%, we do want to pay our 20%, we want to participate, we don't want to participate, that doesn't matter, because we still have to start on the back side. We still have to build the website from the back and build this website up, and at some point click off what we have and turn on what's going to be new, from my understanding. So we have to start at some point building this so that we can turn it on at some point. And so
I agree. I'm just asking for an impact study on the budget, that's all.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like we need to decide what we're doing today and get the ball rolling. And, you know, CPC might come back and say, well, we're only going to do 20%, or we're only going to do 10%. We only can find $5,000. Well, then we adjust that then. But I really feel like we need to. I feel like we need to move forward. And in the end, if we don't turn it on and turn it on to morobay.org and we turn it on to, you know, butterfly.org or whatever our new website would be, if we can't come together in an understanding or a partnership or something, then that's what happens.
I'm disappointed in hearing that CPC is waiting, but hopeful that maybe the issue that they need to discuss with the city's attorney will go fairly quickly so that we can. I think Tom said it when he stood up in public comment, you know, the website is key, and it needs to move forward, and it needs to move forward right now. No, Jane, in terms of budget impact, we budgeted like $7,800. So we don't even have our 50% at this point budgeted in our website. But I think that we could find funds someplace else. I think it's important enough to find funds someplace else to move forward with this.
I agree with you 100%, but that's why some of these committees need to work together, so that when the website committee goes ahead and decides that we want to do this now, pull in joint meeting. You can have a joint meeting with the committees, right, Andrea?
We have, I think if we had two committees meeting, we have a quorum. It's a Brown Act issue. In website development, we have 18,200. And it looks,
we're going to have to do that, but we've got to move forward with this. We can't wait another month and keep losing time and time again. We've got to get forward on this website.
Well, then I think that what we need, I agree with you 100%, but I also think that if we all feel that way, let's just take it on ourselves then.
Well, and that's, you know, I'm glad that you pointed that out. I was looking at the CPC budget that had been left on the desk here from the prior meeting. So that's $7,800 from CPC, $18,000 from TBID. If we have to bifurcate from the chamber, if the chamber is happy with the backside of theirs, then I say we go forward and get started with that action.
How long does it take to do all this work?
We 60 days is what we forecast to, and we were looking at a January 15th launch date, so we're right there.
And does it build on the old website at all, or I mean that's over there, and people are just starting out with blank sheet of paper,
starting from scratch. And as we will, you know, obviously be updating, maintaining the current website alongside as we're building, because everything has to be totally built to flip the switch. But the current website will be maintained the whole time. Once we get a new website, the maintenance costs will go down because we won't be as involved. So that's part of, you know, the budget that you're looking at. I think we can use quite a bit of that budget for this project, but, you know, we obviously don't have $27,000 there. I think we've talked about moving money, and that would have to be discussed.
Andrew, what's the timing of council talking with chamber, that kind of stuff?
It's not council talking with chamber. It's the city, the initial, from my understanding, and I missed your last meeting, but my understanding is that we were going to sit down, the city and the chamber, because that's the agreement. The existing website, that's who is in the original agreement, the city and the chamber.
What was the timing on the city sitting down with the chamber?
Well, I think pretty soon. I wasn't at the last meeting. I would say as soon as possible.
Rob's weighing in here lightly. Hi, Rob. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Oh, don't remind us.
Certainly, if the board wants to move forward with funding to update the web page, you know, that's acceptable. I have grave reservations of flipping, as we've called that, flipping the switch until we actually have a document, finally an agreement with the chamber on ownership, roles, duties, responsibilities, updates, and all of that with them. So you certainly can move forward with updating it and your percentage of it, and still work on the other issues, which is chamber, which I think if the 60 days is, you know, we can do those tandem and let you know. I mean, okay. Your option is you get an agreement with the chamber on all the duties and responsibilities and finally have it in writing. Because my issue is we've spent over the years a tremendous amount of money without any type of agreement, and it's caused some issues over the years that have finally, I think, come into the head, and we need to resolve those if they can be. So I certainly think you can move forward, because ultimately you're going to do that no matter what, it seems. There's no question. There's no one saying it shouldn't be done. It's just when, and I don't think that conflicts with whether you get an agreement. 60 days, though, if we weren't done with
it. And pick that up as part of that cost of updating.
Well, I'm not sure the chamber is willing or not willing. I think that the whole website really evolved over the last, you know, 10 years and how it was done and who took care of it. And it's just we're now here needing to clean it up.
Yeah, I agree, and I agree. We went back and we've been looking at TBIT has just been, we started our audit for our mid-year budget review, which comes up in January already. So the budget subcommittee has started looking back on the 2 years of TBIT and just what TBIT has spent. I know that the city in the last 10 years has budgeted an average of somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 a year to keep that website going and updated, and then TBIT in the last 2 years has put like $35,000. You're talking about like $135,000 on something that we don't own the URL on. We would have not paid $135,000 over 10 years for a fire truck we don't own. So the city definitely has to protect itself for the future and figure out exactly what we're going to do. Either we do what Karen said and if we can't work it out, we have to bifurcate, we flip the switch onto another URL, and that the city owns that URL, and that's their destination marketing URL for the eternity of URLs until something else comes along. So, my vote would be, you know, I'm looking today, I think, for a response from the board that's a motion to move forward with to start with the 50% of the funding, to move forward with building the backside of that website so we can get into a position where we start building it, where we continue to move forward, where we have good, solid information going in there, and we start the preparation for flipping that switch when the city and the partnership comes together, and have BCA come back and give us an update and the city come back and give us an update next month as to where everything is, and then we look at, do we need to additionally fund, which I think is not fair to us but might be something that happens to us, or do we just, you know, continue the way we are and things go along. So what do you think?
I would move that BCA does go ahead with the update of the website, call it an update. If we're starting from a blank slate, I would like to say for building a website, regardless of what URL it ends up on.
I'll second.
Discussion? So in the motion, your motion is to move forward with a blank new slate with that 50% of the estimated funding. Is that your motion?
In terms of dollar amount, I would say to at this point to commit to the 50% of the 13.5, and hopefully we can pick up the rest, but with the understanding that we will finish.
2070.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 13.5 for the 50% of the 27, with the understanding that we will be making a commitment to BCA to finish the website also.
So that's saying that if we vote yes on this,
that we will finish the website.
Yeah, but we're going to start with the 13.5 worth of funding.
I'd like to restate the motion just to make sure I understand.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
What I've got is Member Biagini motion to move forward to build a new website with initial funding of $13,500, and the T-bid will fund the entire project if no other groups fund. A little clunky, but is that the...
I would love to have maybe a friendly amendment that if we end up putting the full $27,000, that the domain name would possibly be changed, because I don't want then this to look like CPC or Chamber says, oh, well, TBID's going to fund it all, then I don't have to give anything. They're going to redo morobay.org, with the possibility of discussion of the URL needing to be changed.
Yeah. Is that accepted by
you? Yes, and I did say with the possibility that we may end up changing that URL.
Yeah. More discussion, people?
And I want to make it clear, when we talk about ownership, I'm not saying that TBID should have ownership of morobay.org. I want the city to have ownership of this. I'm not trying to protect the TBID. I don't want the TBID to have... I want the city to be the protector.
Nick, you were trying. Okay. Jane? Okay. So with that, I think we have a nice, strong motion. I think... we have our ducks in a row, and everyone feels confident. We'll take a vote.
Seconded? Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Have Jennifer get her working gloves on.
She's ready.
She's okay. Call her right now.
She bugs me every day. Can we start? Okay. Can we start? So we're ready.
Thank you, Nick. That's okay, Nick. Thank you. And now we're on... a discussion of the renewal of the billboard on Highway 1. And for that, I'm going to turn it over for a quick, very quick description from BCA.
We went out to the CBID to see if any of their unincorporated areas were willing to share, co-op the billboard on Highway 101. Cheryl Cummings went to all of their board meetings and was unsuccessful in getting any buy-in from any of the cities. So the Highway 101, this says Highway 1, but it is 101. Okay. Okay. Thank you. We do that all the time at the office too. So, so we are looking at the billboard renews in 6 days. I've already had to sign a contract for it because they need 60 days to sell it. I can look into shortening that contract if that's something. I think the billboard is a very good placement. I think it's good for Morro Bay. The board is going to have to decide whether that's something that they want to keep in the budget. And so what I want to do is get, I guess I would get it out to the whole board, what a three-month contract would cost you if you want to shorten it up by that amount, if you want to get out of it by February of 2012, what a six-month contract might be, or if you want to stay for the remainder of the year. We've got it on the budget right now, but we also have it at a half a fifth.
So I've got real mixed emotion on the billboard. I wish there was something out there that could tell me we're getting some sort of a solid return. Maybe somebody else on the board has an idea, but that concerns me. Second is I mean, we basically already renewed. I don't know if there's really a heck of a lot of choice. Probably if you go for 6 months, they're probably going to charge us a 10-month rate, so we might as well have full 12 months on it.
Yeah.
So I think by default, we probably own it one more year. And probably what we ought to do is agendize this for about 8 months from now to make our decision at that point in time, or make it a firm part of the budget process.
I agree. It looks like we own it. I mean, you know, once you are in a contract like this, you're penalized once you try and get out of it. And also, you know, it's great for the city. It's a destination marketing thing. Does it help the hotels? Not really. Billboards don't tend to help hotels. They tend to help restaurants and retailers more than they tend to help hotels. But hopefully we can change that with some new creative, a new skin. I don't know, you know.
I think a billboard is good for a new business to get a name out and awareness. I don't think that we're getting much from Highway 41, and 101, 41, kind of a presence. I would like BCA to look at what we'd pay for 3 months versus what we're now going to pay on our own for 12 months and see where we stand with that. And then if we get that information by next meeting, where we'll have to vote on it again, will that be 60 days out for 3 months?
I can have I think I can provide you with that information before the meeting. Definitely. I mean, I can get that within a day as far as what the charges would be, but we can't decide on it until the next meeting. Is that what we're
we have it in the budget at a half rate. Would it be possible to get it back to the budget subcommittee, and if it comes in at that half rate, we can just move forward with keeping it for whatever the price is. Otherwise, we have to bring it back. We would have to bring it back for a vote then, wouldn't we, Andrea? Help me out.
You budgeted for what's not going to change. I think you're fine.
Okay.
If it's going to change, you can't make the decision at the subcommittee.
It's not necessarily changing. The price in the budget is... If we can get 3 or 6 months down to that price that we have budgeted, we're okay. We can move forward with that. If they come back and there's no 3 or 6 month price, or it's a penalty, you have to pay 11 months for 1 month, then we're going to have to come back next month and vote. So let's move forward and bring it back to the budget subcommittee. Is that okay with everyone?
Because currently in the budget, it's only budgeted at half. So if you look at our budget right now, we do not have enough money to fulfill our current obligation for a year.
Right. And my feeling is to make the board effective, we would need a new skin, and that's adding more money to the budget. So I'd really like to see what the numbers are.
I like the idea of having visibility over 101, okay? So, you know, a lot of people may not think about it. It is not measurable, I agree. But all of a sudden, let's just get off here and go to Morro Bay. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of billboards, period, but I have to tell you, if I could find one that was lighted for my own business, I would, and I can't find one. So it's not measurable, but I have to tell you, the visible images are impact. So, and it only enhances everything else we're doing. It's the more the better.
My thing is I would like to see that $10,000 a year just be spent elsewhere. For me, billboards are very outdated. I don't feel that someone's going to decide to come to Morro Bay at that last of the minute. And that's really, I think 10 years ago, billboards had a little bit more substance than they do now with iPhones. And so I would just, you know, if we had a $1 million budget, fine, keep it there. But at the budget we're at, and we keep adding, here we just approved possibly $27,000 for our website. The money's going to have to come from somewhere. And I just don't feel that the return on our investment for the billboard is worth it. I had a billboard for several years at the hotel, and it, to me, seemed very ineffective. Now, granted, I'm an individual hotel, not a destination. But I think the bottom line is stakeholders. I don't think it's getting heads in beds. And that's where I think. And I know some hoteliers don't agree, and everybody's it's kind of like John saying, it's a mixed bag. But if we've got a mixed bag, I'd rather put that money somewhere that's not so mixed. I'd rather put it somewhere where everybody agrees on doing something than something that's half and half. So my vote would be to cancel that contract out with some caveat that the expenses aren't going to accrue. I hate to spend more money on a skin
that something that we're going to have for maybe 3 to 6 months, or even if it is a year, to me that's a waste of money. If I know I'm going to buy a brand new car tomorrow, I'm not going to go put $2,000 into it. So I will make a motion that we canceled out the billboard with the restrictions that it does not cost more than half of what we have budgeted. Does that seem fair? Or that would be my motion.
Total budget on that is so that we...
Ten six is what we've got budgeted. We've already spent five because you were on contract when we
took it over.
So July through November has been at $1,250. So we've spent five, and then there's another five at half price.
So with the fact that it wouldn't exceed
about $10,000, I think is
$3,000.
When does the contract expire? I mean,
yesterday.
When does
11/21? I believe.
When does the what's the run out day on the billboard itself? I mean,
but they need 60 days to 50 to 60 days to resell that board. I drug them out until November 2nd, and they were going to sell the board, and they told me they were going to sell the board for a huge amount of money, but. I will negotiate whatever I can for you guys. If that's what you want me to do, I will do as much as I possibly can. If they have someone waiting in the wings for it, who knows? We might, but that's your decision.
So I would second the motion.
That.
Thank you.
As always. Okay, and now we are moving to... Wait, before you leave, would it be okay if we moved up D and skipped C, moved that to a future agenda item, C?
She basically told me what her availability is.
Okay. So, discussion of the policy on sponsorship of events. I think what we were trying to look at there was the dates. Did we want to exclude Memorial Day to Labor Day on our event funding? That was a conversation that we weren't allowed to have because we couldn't open it up. Do we want to exclude Memorial Day to Labor Day on the new event funding form?
I like the last week in August, though, so I would think if we are going to put exclusions on dates, I think that last week in August, the weekend before Labor Day, is a down weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
I think I would almost say through like August 15th. It's when school returns that everything dies off. Or let it just be a case by case, because then that's not going to include July 4th, Joan.
I'm just telling you, I took direction from the board. I wrote that down. We brought it back for your discussion.
So we're talking about excluding applications of events that fall between a certain period of time, and the time period is?
Summer.
Summer, like Memorial to Labor or June 1st to August 15th or something like that?
Yeah, Memorial Day to Labor Day is traditional American summer. However, the school districts, year-round, all that kind of stuff, summer really starts somewhere around the 15th of June and goes to the 15th of August now.
I think we should let things go on a case by case. I don't think we should put so many exclusions in personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're over-legislating this
right.
one.
I think it's a dead issue. It dies for lack of, dies a slow death. Okay. Discussion of changing the time and date of the Morro Bay T-Bid meeting. Now that we are, we have lengthy meetings, and it would be nice for these lovely ladies to not have to be here at 7:30 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. So it would also be nicer for us if we started earlier and finished earlier. So I asked everybody to bring their calendars, and some people have left me notes as to their availability. And so I was hoping that maybe we could move to the second Thursday of the month, the Thursday before this. It would be the second Thursday of the month, falling somewhere between the probably 10th and the 15th, move to like 8:30 or 9 a.m. Thoughts?
That works for me. Absolutely.
7. I could do 7, except Michelle, my kids catch the bus early, but.
I would preferably prefer 9 o'clock for me personally. Just Yeah, it gives me a chance to get into the office for 15, 20 minutes and coordinate what I need to do and then get over here. So I'm fine with the second Thursday. I know Jane had told me Thursday has worked best for her. For me, 8:30 would be really tight for me because I drop my kids off and get over here and I'd be rushing myself. So I would prefer 9, but if 8:30 happened, I could try to work with it.
Andrew, do you have a city calendar?
Down, but that's, you know, at this point, it's kind of a moot point. So
Planning Commission meets the second Wednesday. Can they leave it set up from that and then just tear down once?
They meet. I have Planning Commission on the...
Maybe it's the first Wednesday.
It's the first. I think it's the first Wednesday because I have it on the 7th of December, but I don't have it on the 14th. So it, but that's not a huge point.
We could move it to the first Thursday, and I'd be okay with that if that helps city. As long as we do Thursday, I'm okay.
Could we look at both of them and see what works best in the world of city things?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is second a preference over first?
I think second might be a preference because it gives a little bit extra time to get all the reports ready for the end of the month, the prior month.
Yeah,
TOT, yeah. All
that's
that.
That's right.
The second
You'd be
Thursday
behind.
Is. And Wednesdays are...
You actually may not be... We'll have to see. We may not have TOT by that point. That'll be tight.
What about the fourth Thursday? Is there a fourth Thursday in every month?
There's always a fourth Thursday. Sometimes there's a fifth Thursday.
We could do a fourth Thursday. And the advantage of that is we'd be a week after CPC instead of a week before.
But this building isn't available.
It is?
Is not.
Oh, is not. Oh, well, then never mind.
We will...
Could we change the location to Dairy Creek?
I can't do Wednesdays. Wednesdays.
Yes, John.
I like that.
It's going to be tight.
Yes, you may. There won't be a quorum.
It's the VCB, which I'm getting out of, but Andrea has to be there, or somebody has to be there.
How about Tuesdays?
We're going to be hard-pressed for Wednesdays. A little hard-pressed for Tuesdays. But...
Okay, Mondays and Tuesdays are bad. Tuesday's out. Wednesday's tough for Jane. Nick likes Thursdays.
I really think we need to try to keep it on Thursdays.
We'll see what we can do with the TOT.
The second Thursday sounds.
I mean, in December, that's the 8th, so maybe go on that. That's one of your earliest.
Yeah.
Would be one of your earliest second Thursdays. If they can get TOT out by then, it should be okay for every other month. Every month.
Pardon me? Wait, say that. Put your microphone on.
The please. First... The earliest that a Thursday usually will fall is in December. It falls on the 8th. I mean, it could fall. It can't fall. That's the earliest it can fall. If they can make TOT happen before the 8th of the month, we'll be safe for every month. But Andrea's going to check that
and
out.
And if it does, I don't know. I'm doubtful because usually I don't get it very much in advance of this meeting. But if we don't have it, then you're a month out. And I guess that's the question. Is that going to... You know,
I don't think a TOT report should hold up our meetings.
It's already
no.
It happened anyway.
You can email that information to us when you do have it available, and you know, email it to all the board members. And if there's something significant in it, we could maybe bring it up to discussion in the following month or something like that. But
and we'll try.
Yeah, and we're going to make it available on the back end of the website now, anyhow.
Yeah.
So it's going to be everywhere. That's great. Everybody should know. Okay. So I believe we are having a motion to move the regularly scheduled Morro Bay TBID meetings to the second Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. here in the Veterans Hall, beginning December?
Good.
Is that so moved?
So moved.
I'll second.
Any more discussion?
Could you give me a second alternative just in case I'm missing something on my schedules?
The first Thursday?
You said the first Thursday.
The first Thursday? The first Thursday's okay. Fine. You know. Oh, yeah. Let's do back-to-back. Okay. No more discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you for the levity, John. There we go. That one passes. So maybe, Andrea, once we have it drilled down on, you can shoot an email to the whole board since they're a little bit, had to scatter a little bit.
So you know a day to come to the meeting?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
We're all no-shows.
I will.
We're all no-shows. They'll count against us. Okay. So we did discussion of... Oh, my gosh. Okay. And we are on the update of the Director of Tourism Workshop, discussion of the agenda, and that includes scheduling that workshop, and that was another reason why I asked everyone to bring their calendars, so I hope you have it with you. I have the old-fashioned paper kind. I printed it today so I could actually see it. Oh, yeah, steel trap. That's... your calendar's blank. Okay. So let us look for a date. Obviously, next week is tough. So we would be looking into the week of the 28th or the week of the 5th right now. And maybe we can do one of those elusive Thursdays because we just moved our meeting to the second Thursday, which means our meeting will be the 8th next month. So we're looking at maybe Thursday the 1st?
Thursday the 1st works for me.
Thursday the 1st? Thursday the
1st, I know
first,
Jane
Karen?
Said Thursday's worked for her.
We're talking about a morning. Let's do it in the morning and get it over with. I think we're probably talking about, yeah, a few hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. If everybody gets a chance to vet this group, yeah. Okay, so we're looking at Thursday the 1st at 9 a.m. What do we have in here, Andrea? What's the possibility?
This building is available. You won't have any staff, no city attorney, no department head. We've got a closed session.
Is that okay? Can we do that?
You need somebody.
We can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got closed session with City Council. Just
okay.
Scheduled yesterday. Sorry. But the room's available.
City clerk? Could the city clerk?
It would probably be good to have either Rob or I here.
Okay. You mean bring lunch in or something?
If we did the 15th, it is that VCB workshop.
That's the VCB workshop.
Mm-hmm. For me, if we did a Wednesday, I'd have to try to do it after 10. But I could come in a little late. Oh, mine's on.
Thanks. Sorry. Anytime Wednesday the 30th is good for me.
Wednesday works. Wednesday the 30th.
How does that work, Andrea, with yours?
I'm working at the hotel.
Not here.
How about if the other one?
And the 30th, I believe, is the first day for a renovation at the community center. Oh, no, that's the last 2 weeks. I don't have November 30th for community center, but let's see what we've got normally on 30th. Is it what kind of a day?
It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday, community center. It's a meeting open to the public, so you've got to have a public comment, and it won't be televised because it's a workshop, but it's open to the public, so you have to have a meeting facility. I'm hesitant on Wednesday the 30th. I don't think I'm going to have availability in the community center.
Friday the 2nd?
Which facility?
Friday the 2nd of December? It's like the worst day for hoteliers, but...
I'm not here.
I might be slayed by Jane.
Afternoon on the 29th. Tuesday.
What? November.
Yes.
No. Oh, no, Monday the 29th. Tuesday the 29th. Possibly here.
Let's see what you've got staff-wise.
Tuesday afternoon, the 29th. Does that work for you, Joan? And
can make it work.
Michelle? Tuesday the 29th in the afternoon?
Tuesday the 29th in the morning.
I'm sorry. I've got an 11 to 4 here.
No.
How about the other place?
The community center is hard in the afternoons with activities.
Did we?
Well, I think we can do that. I think we tried. We were trying to do that before with something else. Was it this?
Well, we need to get this on the books. I mean, we have to get this going.
It was.
If this needs to be public, it needs to be published, and we need to, you know, get a date set so we can.
I understand that.
I think that's what we're trying to do. So, if we start with you,
what
might be the easiest way to do it?
Yeah.
I'm fine to do that. I thought that's what we were. I thought that was a better process than this.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what process?
Of us looking at available facilities and sending out an email and individual members emailing. It'll be Dana that does it. Individual members emailing Dana back on their availability to not fool with the Brown Act.
Is that going to cause lag time, though? Is it going to? Will it?
It depends how quickly you get back to us.
When will we hear from Dana?
She will look at what's available and send out in the next couple of days, I would assume.
Okay, great.
Okay, so can we look at a couple of weeks? Can we give her a couple of weeks to look at so she can drill down on it? The week of the 28th, beginning Monday the 28th, and the week of the 5th, excluding the 8th.
Can you?
Sometime in the 2 week period.
Right. Yep, sometime in that 2 week period. And do we want to establish what's on the agenda here? Because that was one thing, and we can at least have that ready so that it can be included for the agenda. I think when we're talking about a director of tourism, we're talking about a job description. Payment method, accountability.
I probably wouldn't go as far as a job description. I'd probably just look at roles and responsibilities.
Yeah, roles and responsibilities.
Because that'll lead to a job description, so keep it a level higher than that.
Okay, we'll come back.
If you hire somebody, who do they report to? So a structure.
Right.
Funding is always, coming from the bank, funding's always the one that gets to me most.
Yeah. Funding, account, roles and responsibilities and structure, because the structure will include accountability, right?
Yeah, and probably, and this would be a subset in there, but some sort of a target or goal that we would want this person to achieve, which would, be a financial goal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, that we're looking at this person in this role achieving this, mm-hmm. the kind of results we're expecting mm-hmm. from this person.
Right. Let's see here. Roles and responsibilities, the funding, the structure, including accountabilities and goal setting. The targets, all that.
Targets is good.
And anything, I guess opening it up would be including conversations regarding any and all duties that this person would have. That way we can have this open, vetted process, you know, vetting out complete roles, responsibilities, duties, accountability, funding. Anything else?
What about experience, background we would want this person to have?
Uh-huh. Depth of experience.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go out and post a job, what are you going to put on the job posting?
Yep. Depth of experience or knowledge. That's quite the task. Okay. So do you want me to shoot that to you in an email, Andrea? Would that be easier? I wrote it down.
Do you want to put the agenda together? Because staff's going to be there, but it's my understanding staff's not running the meeting.
Okay.
The board is.
All right. That's
so
fine.
We'll be there.
So do you want me to put it together? Well, we'll talk. I'll email you. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about what structure you need for it to be posted or whatever. Okay. So we don't need a motion on this. We just move forward with you. You're going to come back to us with some dates via email. Yeah. You all. Right. So now we are moving down to F, our final discussion of continuation of the Jackrabbit Reservation System. And we have that on the books right now at 1250. I'm sorry? 1250 a month. Thank you. And the question arises as, are we getting our value out of that? And I think it's something that we need to go back to the hoteliers with themselves and maybe do a survey to the hoteliers to see if they are looking at their Google Analytics.
Didn't we incorporate Jackrabbit satisfaction, responses to problems?
We did. That was
effectiveness, that type of stuff in the last survey to hoteliers?
We did. That was a general overall. I think that what I was thinking more in the terms of this is the cost, this is the percentage of our budget, do you see the value in this, is this something you'd like to see us continue with? If not, do you want us to seek a direct booking alternative, which, you know, is Travelocity and it's going to cost us more? How do you feel about pay-per-click or something like that and maybe even passing on us paying for the button up there and then passing on some cost to the hoteliers, which I don't feel good about, but some hoteliers might feel good about that. You know, basically, if we take this service away from the customer or this service away from the hoteliers, what are we going to replace it with that adds value? And I think for a lot of hoteliers, it does show there's a direct touch with the customer. And I think we talk a lot about what percentage of our money has a direct touch with the guest. This is one of those things that does have a direct touch for ease of use for the guests to see what hotels are open. Instead of bouncing to 33 hotels, they go to the two that have availability. I think maybe we need to put something together to see if there's a future for us with Jackrabbit as we move forward.
Could this be part of BCA's exploration as they move forward with building the new website? I mean, should that be something that should we do our survey first, do you think, to see if there's enough interest among the hoteliers first to move ahead with this, to see if it could be incorporated some way differently or utilized somewhat differently within the website? Or
yeah, I think there's two things. I think we need to ask the hoteliers first. We need to tell them how much it costs, ask them if tell them what the click-throughs are currently, what it's been for the last year since we've had it up, what the click-throughs are currently. Do they like the value or the perceived value? These are the benefits of it. And then if they like it but think we should pay less or continue on, if, you know, maybe we need to renegotiate somehow with Steve. So I think if we moved forward with a survey, we could, you know, have a little team that came up with the survey, we could use one of our current subcommittees and come up with a survey just to get a quick zoomerang out. By January, we would know the answer, and we could have Jackrabbit back to answer some questions for us.
I think that's a good idea. I think the website, it's mm-hmm. integrated into the website, mm-hmm. so it seems like it would fall under the website subcommittee purview to me. And I think we can use as a basis the last survey we did mm-hmm. and then kind of build on that or expound it or maybe drill down. I'm not sure. I don't remember the specifics of that survey, but I think we need to get into it right away because we're starting the website rebuild mm-hmm. right away. So,
yep.
Yeah. But I think it's something that needs to go out to the hoteliers for discussion. So
I agree. It needs to be opened
get
up.
Get on it. And
so we need a motion. Do we need a motion to allow us to do that survey, Andrea? Okay, we should.
Then I move that we put together a survey, the website subcommittee put together a survey to hoteliers concerning the Jackrabbit, continued use of Jackrabbit in the website.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. And future agenda items we will go over in the future. I say we're adjourned. Yes, future agenda items. I'm sorry, we're not adjourned.
I would just like to make sure we get on there for the record, Tom's comments.
Oh, absolutely.
And that we make that a future agenda item, how we're going to, I think it's how we're best going to hear the concerns from the hoteliers. And how we're going to communicate back to the hoteliers.
I think that'll be part of that website redevelopment. If we can get that back end side of the page done on that website,
it's
I think that's going to
yeah.
make a huge difference because there is no way now for the hotel. I mean, it's just not up to date.
You know, I think I'll go back maybe and ask Tom for a copy of his comments to get to Sherry. Maybe he can just put into. I'll contact Tom and I'll ask him for a copy of his contact.
Yeah, because they won't be verbatim in the minutes.
Right.
We don't do that.
It'll be a quick blip.
But we can get them.
Yep. I'll go back and I'll ask him if he can give me some bullet points, and we'll get them to you.
I'd like to get on the record that I did respond to his emails and gave him the information of when the website changed, when those photos went away, and he responded to me all of the that he talked about today, how you know much his business had not benefited from the pictures being gone. And so just to let you know, I did respond. I've corresponded with him a few times. So
I did see that. Okay. So with that, I just want to say we made it out. We are 4 minutes late. We are adjourned.